Yeah.
Excellent. I have this little microphone, but I don't know if it's helping or making it too loud. I don't know.
Can you turn up the volume of your microphone?
Not really. It's not very good. There, look. How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit. How much higher can it go?
Let's see.
How's that?
Tim, say something.
Something? I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'll fix it in post.
Yeah. You get to edit out all the cursing too.
Yes, that's right.
put in a bunch of car horn sounds. Wow-ooga.
Awesome.
Is it bad that I took a nervous pee? Like, I've talked to these two assholes for how many years, and I'm like, ooh, I'm nervous. I gotta go pee.
I'm going live in a few minutes.
I know. It's like I'm so sad.
I put on makeup, so
I haven't even put on pants. Actually, I'm still wearing the clothes I slept in, and the big old fro.
I don't wear any clothes when I sleep. I'm of the sleep naked camp.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I try not to do that. I mean, the only time when that ever happens is when it's like when you just kind of fall asleep that way, like after some of the hibbity-dibbity kind of thing. And then even then, I wake up in the middle of the night, like, ooh, and just put on some shorts.
What if there's a fire?
Yeah, I hate to. That's, everyone always says that, but it's true.
What if you got to run out of the house? Not, I guess, you know, naked or fire death is an easy choice, but I prefer to have some pants on of some kind, even if boxers. Oh.
Yeah, I even put it. But, well, Tim, you remember the story when I lived in Redwood Shores when the guy was like being attacked?
Oh yeah.
Or the gay couple like across the way, and the guy was screaming like bloody murder, and I ended up running out to go see what was going on and to help, and I was just wearing like sleep shorts and no shirt, and it was like I felt so uncomfortable that I had to lead the cops that way, like to the department, and the first thing they say to me like, how come you're only wearing shorts? It's like, because I'm sleeping.
Well,
I was like so ashamed.
I usually have like the shorts right next to my bed, so like I totally drop full trowel and then slam into bed.
slam in.
That's right. But I did have to get up 2 months ago, because there's a banging at the door and like. The dog was barking all batshit crazy, more than usual. So after about 10 times of telling her to be quiet, I realized that someone was actually banging at our door. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, so, you know, I'm completely naked. And in my grogginess, I had just enough time to put on some house shorts. And I stumbled out there, and like apparently like nobody was out in front of the door, but I heard a car alarm, and I'm like, oh, shit. So I walk out, and there's a cop who's already in my car looking to pop the hood of my car while the battery and the alarm was going crazy. I guess it turns out that, like, my car battery just went tits up, and just, like, you know, you get that white bubble crusty stuff in the battery, you know it's dead.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we pop the hood and we unhook the battery, but apparently, like, 3 or 4 people called the cops in our apartment complex, and, like, we had the car registered. That's why he was banging at our door.
Well, and, no, was he decent? Was he nice, or was he a shithead about it?
No, he was all like, oh, I'm glad your car was registered to that, and this is really loud. I'm like, yeah, sorry. So we got it disconnected. He had apparently, and this is something a little FYI for you and everybody.
He disconnected it because he shot it. That's how he disconnected.
He pulled out one of those guns.
He shot your car.
Yes, exactly. The cop that unhooked the battery in my car was Tackleberry from Police Academy. Stand back, yep. Sir.
Oh, wow,
bang! But
and then he made you blow him.
One thing I didn't know is that they actually have like tool sets in the trunk. They have like tools in the trunk of cop cars, which makes sense. But I didn't realize it, you know, until I was standing there almost naked in my house shorts watching him disconnect the battery in my car. And it sucks, too, because, like, our bed is, like, in the exact opposite place to where all the parking is. So, like, our car could be, like, on fire and we wouldn't know it in the middle of the night because we'd be busy sleeping. So it was nice of the cop to, like, bang on the door to get our attention. And,
Pretty heavy sleepers, I take it?
What?
I said you guys are both pretty heavy sleepers, I take it?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, you're not a heavy sleeper?
No, I'm not. I have to get really wasted to sleep heavy.
But when you slam into bed.
Yes, right. I usually elbow drop Kelly is what I do.
I'm making a note not to wake up Mike.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No, because you might. I don't need him to slam to the floor buck naked.
You've never lived it until you've had it done to you. It's pretty great.
It's like you want to jump out of bed buck naked. It's like I'm gonna need you to at least put on your emergency ball coverage.
Emergency ball coverage. Your EBC.
The EBC on the floor. He says he's got them right there by the bed, just in case, you know.
Yeah. Well, I do that with a shirt now, but
so for the B part of the EBC, does it?
It's a really long shirt. Like, did your mom sleep in those long T-shirts when you were kids, like in the '80s?
Because
like my mom had one that said, "I slept with the Oak Ridge Boys."
Oh God!
Wow! I wish I had that shirt right now.
Oh, it's got to be on eBay somewhere, but and she had a lot of them with Garfield.
Yeah. Let me guess. One of them said, "I hate Mondays."
I probably did. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. Classy family.
No, probably said, "I slept with Mondays."
Yeah, I slept with Arbuckle.
Oh, God.
which we've met Arbuckle. We know Arbuckle, firstly. Okay. Remember Hokey, the ring announcer?
Yeah.
D'Lo? You always referred to him as Arbuckle.
He looks exactly like John Arbuckle.
Have you guys seen that website that's I can't remember the exact name, but it's the Garfield cartoons, but it's without Garfield.
Garfield minus Garfield.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, well, maybe it's not such a literal title, but I guess
no, it is.
It's really good. It's really interesting. I mean, but I don't know how he does it. Like the creator actually gave him the go ahead. Like after he saw it, he was like, "Oh yeah, go ahead." So
anyways, yeah,
sorry. I always derail things with Garfield. Talk. I just love him.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Who doesn't?
Garfield gets enough pub already.
Have you guys seen those movies? By any chance?
Garfield movies?
Yeah.
The 3D ones? I might have seen the first one. I didn't see the second one.
Wasn't Bill Murray the voice of Garfield in one of them?
Both of them.
Was he in both of them?
Pretty sure he was. I don't know. Well, okay, I don't know about the second
one. He opted out after the first one.
Well, I remember that kid from Road Trip is in it. The kid who kind of looks like younger Bill Maher, that kid.
Oh, I do not like that kid.
He's kind of like a mix between younger Bill Maher and actually Wesley from Mr. Belvedere.
No, Wesley. Wesley is possibly the ugliest child actor ever.
Kind of looks like he's about 60.
Looks like he got hit in the face with a rake or something. I just.
was a harsh taskmaster.
Mr. Belvedere's heart. But you know, I thought the mom was pretty good looking in that show, though. The Mr. Belvedere. And you remember who the dad was in Mr. Belvedere, right?
Yeah, it's Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
A few baseballs to the face or something.
Yeah.
Like playing a little catch with Uke.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he was a catcher, so he probably snapped through to second and crunched Wesley a couple times. I don't know.
Hey, Wesley held on to the ball, though.
He's a tough kid. He's an ugly kid, but he's a tough kid.
Yeah, Bill Murray was the voice in the sequel to it's Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties, was the name of the movie. And the guy who played John Arbuckle was Breckenmeyer.
Oh, Breckenmeyer.
Who's Breckenmeyer?
I don't know, but that name is ridiculous.
Kind of looks like a young Bill Maher. That's the guy you're talking
about.
That's
the kid I'm, you know, okay.
I'm thinking of the dark-haired kid from Road Trip that I just can't stand.
Oh, the curly haired guy.
Yeah, he needs to go away forever.
I guess apparently he does a lot of voices in King of the Hill and Robot Chicken.
Yeah, he's on Robot Chicken all the time, pretty much. Yeah.
But what's the name of the kid that you hate, Tim? And Tim has this way of spreading hate. Like, where if he doesn't like something, he'll tell me about it, and I'll be like, well, you know, I'm kind of indifferent to it. And then, you know,
it's like, no, later, no. Yeah, I hate him.
Yeah, and then I see his point. I mean, he's like a mini Hitler. He's really good at
we were discussing beforehand superpowers that we have. Yeah. My ability to make anybody hate anybody for no real reason.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, you've got that sound reasoning. Reason,
but somebody can be giving somebody else like a slide on some of the same reasons, and I'd be like, no, sorry.
Yeah, but that kid from the road trip thing, I hate him too, because he's in that Royal Pains or whatever show. I don't, not that I watch it, but okay, I see
that. That's right, he's in that show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who I made John hate. I think Phillip I made Rivers. Phillip Rivers first.
That but was kind of I was that wasn't very hard to do though. I mean,
yeah, of course
the football player.
I hate Phillip
Rivers. Absolutely, we'll not put him on my fantasy team or anything. Even though, like, you know, he
he's on my not draftable list.
Yeah, mine too. I think John Elway, Peyton Manning will be this year on my non-draft. As much as I hate to say that,
well. Is he on there because he plays for the Broncos, or is he on there because you're pretty sure he's going to not make it through the season?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Oh, man.
I just I can't see the three. And then, what does that sound like?
What's that?
What?
I think I'm echoing or something.
Maybe.
Hear it?
Are you wearing headphones?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't hear an echo, though, on our end.
Well, it's okay. I don't really need to hear myself. It's kind of like this. There's a little bit of a delay. But I don't know. As long as it sounds good on your end, that's will not worry too much.
Let me offer up this little sound bite real quick. We'll see if it carries through here.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Ready.
Is ruled by violence, and the soul of mankind fades. The children's path shall be darkened by the shadows of the neon maniacs.
Hokie, did you watch that yet?
I did not get a chance to watch
it. He does have it, though. So
I have it. I just haven't watched it yet. So, okay, so have you guys seen it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Maniacs.
So...
Yeah, I saw it probably like four times in a row.
Okay, so what is... There's a trailer. I saw the trailer, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I love the troll makeup. So
the music's good, too. Like, on YouTube, there's some clips that are of just the musical performances. And by good, I mean gigantic steaming turd. I mean, it's...
Yeah, what's the movie about? Between you two, like tell me about the movie as like someone who's never seen it before. Like, yeah, why should I? Besides, like, what I like, you know, what I've seen so far. What makes this movie what gives it its place in the pantheon of terrible movies and movies that you have to see?
Dude.
Well, I sold it to Tim actually on one of my 60-hour commutes. It was like I was stuck in traffic, and I had thought about it because, like, how I first heard about the movie, well, not heard about it, but came to know about it, when I was in junior high, I stayed over at a friend's house, and we saw some of it, like, at 2, 3 in the morning on Cinemax or Showtime or something like that. And
or the movie channel, Joe Bob Briggs driving.
No, it was, they just kind of, you know how, I think actually it was HBO, you know how HBO would just throw random stuff on, like Night of the Comet? And, you know, like those kind of, you know, horror movies that have some movies. So that's why.
Kind of the early run days. Not the early run days of HBO, but like when they had to use all the shit movies to fill the nighttime.
Right. Out. It wasn't like now where they could multiplex and all that good stuff. But, no, what I had sold Tim to the movie is that there's no explanation on things. And it's just the acting's bad, the music is horrendous. They never explain the monsters, which they could have done in like
3 seconds.
Was it Tim? Like 3 seconds? Yeah, Tim and I, like, we were driving it, and we were like,
"Just give us something."
Just say, oh, this is, you know, because we came up at like, what, Tim, within like 2 minutes, like a thing where the cops could have been talking. They would have been like, because they never explain these monsters, like why are these monsters who are, they get killed by water, why they live by the Golden Gate Bridge underneath it.
Wait, hold on. What?
Exactly.
So are these monsters the direct descendant of the Wicked Witch of the West or something?
Ooh, no. See, that'd even be a good.
See, that would even be good.
Oh,
too.
Well, hey, there you go.
That's kind of like a surreal, like Andy Warhol take on it.
But I mean, this is how easy it is to give them a backstory. But yeah. They didn't even. I mean, you could give a cop like maybe a minute monologue to be like. Or like some investigative reporter's like, oh yeah, they were, you know, mutants that fell off this ship and then they turned into these things. You didn't, it doesn't have to be anything grand, but they didn't even try to make a half ass.
Well, it sounds like they could even do like a you know, the dusty old book trope where they stumble in some library and like, oh look at these ancient scribes.
They already there's like three. Hey, my whole thing was that they were homeless guys that were all, like in a little encampment that lived under the bridge and like something crashed, you know, like a boat crashed that had some waste, and you know, you kind of toxic Avenger it, and then you're like, oh, because what doesn't make sense, and this will probably make you laugh, is that each one of them has like a personality, kind of. There's
I saw in the trailer the roll call of monsters. Yeah. I'm like, what? And
there's like an electric one. There's an Indian. There's a soldier. The Vietnam vet. There's a samurai.
There's a construction worker. There's the cop.
They all blow each other. Oh, it's good though. I mean, it's a quintessential like good bad movie because there's a lot of humor you find it. The acting's so bad, and I showed it to my nephews. And by the way, Hoke, I don't know if Tim told you, but I think my nephews are kind of like. They've joined the cult of bad movies. They're like, we need more bad movies. We need to have Tim send us some of his favorite bad movies. They're more fun than good movies.
They are.
Like, they really are. But,
oh, I'll send him the Sleep Stalker, because that's perfect. But
Sleep Stalker?
It's one of those videotapes I picked up for a buck at the flea market. It was the one, probably the few that I actually was like, okay, that was worth the dollar. Because the other ones just were awful.
Yeah. I don't know, Hoki, when I was back this last time, we went to the flea market, and Tim had the worst run of movies. Can you say there's something good in there? But...
Yeah, it's
five, six movies.
It's like you're panning for gold, right? You're going to get a lot of mud and fish poop, but, you know, every once in a while, you're going to find a gold nugget of a bad movie.
Well, and I would say I found like a fleck of gold in Sleep Stalker. Well, I don't know. I may have to give Sleep Stalker a better rating than that because it's awful and it's got
Roller Coaster was a gigantic fish.
Oh
turd.
God, that was that.
If you get fish poop mining for gold, that was like a fish poop refinery.
But I read the back of the, I mean, it's like it's not like I'm just grabbing it at random. I read the back to make sure there's like some crap level. John saw me digging, so put all that effort in, you get home, and they're just
I haven't been crate digging like that in a while. You know,
I love it. I would do it every day if I could. I'm so retarded, man.
I haven't even been to a lot of. I've been to some. There's one of those, independently owned video stores where like half the store is like VHS tapes and the other half are like Hong Kong DVDs,
like the soap operas and stuff like that. Because that's big out here, the bootlegs of like South Korean and Hong Kong, like the soap operas. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I'm just talking about like it's not Blockbuster and it's like a rundown college run kind of store. I rented The Story of Ricky from there.
The Ricky O?
Because I had it on VHS tape, but I needed a quick and easy way just to get it on the computer for backup purposes only, of course. And I wanted to show it to Kelly. I don't know if Kelly ever watched it, so I figured, hey, two birds, one stone. So
did she watch? She did watch it with you then?
Yeah.
After you rented it?
Yeah.
What'd she think?
It's a pretty bad movie. She likes it a lot, but. It's gore. Well, I mean, yeah. While we're on the topic of horrendously bad movies, Ricky O is probably like it is in the pantheon. It's top five easy.
Boy.
But I haven't like, man, I need to go through some of the gyms. I can't remember, Tim. The only one that I found was at that truck stop, which is always a good place to find. Final
awesome.
Come Down with Billy Dee Williams.
Final Come Down.
I haven't been to a truck stop for a while, but they do seem to sometimes have really odd titles, like things that you've never seen before anywhere. Where else?
Oh,
is it still that way?
Yeah.
Well, and here's the kicker. I think we saw this when Tim helped me move down here to Austin. I think we saw like movies on tape or some kind of thing that's like it's a movie but it's on tape, and it was like these really bad like think of really bad Konami video game covers for the Nintendo Entertainment Super System.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now think of like a cover like that on like a CD case, and then have it say like, you know, Captain John Smith attacks Mars audio movie on tape, and it's on a CD. Those were like half of the racks anymore, of like
really,
of like the because they got the DVD side, and then they had like this, and I've never seen anything like that. Because really, like, it's not really a movie on tape. Is it someone is just telling you a story?
Okay, like the old radio programs?
Yeah.
It's probably, like, sound effects and probably some dialogue and stuff. But
that
then
sounds
there's
kind of cool. Sorry.
Next time I go to a truck stop, I'll pick one up for you there.
I get to see, like, on the treadmill, like, what are you listening to? I'm like, I'm listening to Jim Bob's Mars Adventures.
And they're oh, that's a great audio. What is it? Is that an audiobook? It's like, no, it's a movie on tape.
Duh, you dumb shit.
I think they have.
Act all offended by it. No.
I think they have regular Hollywood movies that are done that way.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. And I don't remember seeing any, but I swear I have seen like, it was like a real movie, like Thelma and Louise movie on CD or something. And I can't, it wasn't Thelma and Louise, but that'd be interesting to hear.
I bet those flew off the shelves too.
Well, I was thinking maybe you're
like the car at the end of that story.
You can't shouldn't you watch the movie while you're driving the truck, so maybe you can listen to
totally,
it.
You just totally spoiled that movie. I haven't seen it.
Oh, sorry. I might have
they
saved
died,
you from
dude?
That movie.
You rat bastard. I haven't seen that. No, I'm just
well, but they survived. You didn't know that, did you?
Oh,
well, I just gave that away, so.
Oh, damn it.
Boy, that's if I ever do like an audio movie on tape for truckers, it's going to be only movies where at the end some sort of vehicle drives off a cliff.
And when the truck drives off the cliff, it has to go, murr, murr, as it's like falling.
Tell them Large Marge sent you.
So I have a question that I've kind of thought about, because I enjoyed looking through the flea markets. And Hoki, you're in Austin, and so Austin, I imagine, is like, well, I mean, I've been there, I guess I should say, I imagine, in my mind. But is it as fun to go to, like, places like the, like, flea markets and pick through things? Is it as there where it's kind of like, it's kind of a regular thing, like, everyone's kind of cool and kind of into a lot of stuff? Or is it better, like, when you're in Kansas when it's not everyone gets it?
Does
the flea market lose some of
its... I mean,
it
depends on what you're looking for. Like, most of the flea market stuff really are just people outside selling shit on tables. It's like,
okay,
it's like there's I don't know if there's much as a flea market like as there is like an area designated where people can bring their own tables, prop up and sell like jewelry made out of bullets and like
Wait, what?
Yeah. Jewelry made out of bullets and like really poorly painted over unique t-shirt designs. with the kind of latex type paint that you had in middle school.
The one that you put on marbles and put in a shoebox and then shake it around.
Yeah. Or the kind of the goop stuff that you could paint onto shirts that
The puff paint.
Oh, yeah.
And then like, you know, like if you're somebody like me who would like cut off the application of the paint where it's all pokey and very painful to wear after you get done applying it.
Where you get a rash that says the lettering that you put on.
Yes, exactly. iron on, more like rash on.
But I was just wondering because, you know, because Austin has that huge, like, hip factor, you know, like, hipster guy. So, I'm like, because, like, you go to the flea market in Wichita, and it's pretty gnarly people. And then I was just thinking, Austin, you'd have a lot of guys in, you know, pork pie hats and, you know, in the, you know, shorts, like, being cool, like, being ironic. But I just didn't know if, like, it was, like, if it was that way or if you had gnarly people at the flea market there.
Well, it's, like I said, it's like, you know, there's the thrift stores, and they're pretty popular.
Yeah. Picked over.
That too. Although I picked up a stereo a couple weeks ago because the TV in our living room blew out. So we had a backup TV, but I had an extra set of speakers and I wanted to use it. So you got a stereo there, but it was like, it's like these thrift stores, and then like right down the street from us is like this community center, quote unquote, where you go in and it's like an indoor, like outdoor flea market, I guess. So it's like say you go to like a music festival and you see those tents are like really crappy, like plywood painted over like signs and stuff. Like, you see that, but you see that indoor in this air-conditioned area, and it's all just full of, like, dirty people who've given up on life.
We'll just call them Johns.
Johns. We'll call them Johns. So they have that. And then what's even weirder, well, it's not weird, it's just, I think they kind of, I guess it's, I think, I guess, to answer your question, John, I think flea markets down here are a little more commercialized.
Like, really?
Because you can go to like a flea market, quote unquote, where you can find some old tapes and stuff, or you can find like mesh hats or like, you know, bullets, jewelry. But you know, if there's like a food truck or two right next to it, then it's like instantly like, hey, it's popular and people are going there to get food and then they just shop around and stuff like that. So
people are crazy. I hear about food trucks as well, which is, I don't know if that's like everywhere, if that's become with Twitter and
Wichita
and apps and everything. Trucks, Wichita has it?
They have three now and you can follow, they tell you where they're going to be every day.
Yep.
Like go to their website.
It's officially nationwide.
If it's in Wichita, it's part of the shark already.
my work is having a street fair today, and they have like seven or eight like really like good food trucks. I'm not going because I'm perpetuating my lines, planting the seeds, because I'm not going to work tomorrow because I'm calling into, you know, because Alex is sick. I'm making the quote marks. So I'm kind of bummed that I'm going to miss the food trucks because normally have to give you the tickets.
Ooh.
And you can, you know, they give you like four tickets or something. But then by the end of it, like they're like, oh, we need, you know, we've already paid for all this, so here, have some more tickets. And so like last week, I had lunch like for the week, you know, because I just had all this. I mean, it wasn't as fresh and good, but it's like, man, you know, I'm cheap, you know, free burgers, free burger, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so
it'll go.
Yeah, all right, you just nuke it in the microwave or put it in the toaster oven and toast some of the sogginess out of it.
So they'll have festivals. Like, it is weird. It's like they either find an excuse around here to have a music festival every weekend, or like have like a regular like festival, like Pecan Street Festival, or like, you know, Diver Down Day Festival or whatever. So like they'll just like set up a bunch of like those tables, those flea markety type tables.
Yeah.
They'll just set them up like down the main drag on 6th Street, and then you'll have your food trucks there, and it's like it's a festival. So some shitty band will be playing, and people will show up and walk around and like look at like, you know, people trying to hawk their stuff. And
Windcatchers. Or dream catchers
and hammocks and like organic dishwasher soap.
Oh god, don't get me started on that stuff, man.
So it's like
it's just like dishwasher soap except it doesn't clean your dishes.
It's definitely,
it makes it makes them dirtier. it's just silt and a bunch of gravel.
Fish poop,
and it scratches up your dishes. They smell like fish shit, but it's organic.
Yeah. So I mean, flea market. I guess So flea markets are definitely like mainstream, I guess, down here. For me, I think it would be a little bit harder to find, especially like VHS tapes. Like I go to like that world. There's like a thrift store where I bought the stereo, and I'll buzz by like the tapes, and I don't know. Maybe it's location, but it just doesn't look like there's a good pull from there as I would get like from going to like Vintage Stock or like some other places around in Kansas City and in Kansas.
Yeah. Well, the flea market that Tim and I have been going to Wichita, I should let Tim tell you, but he seems to find most of his stuff in the B-team of the flea market, like the flea market annex.
I call it the sub flea market, because like there's the main room where everything is, and then they call it like the discount hall or something.
Wait, so it's like a flea market, and then it's like
a flea market.
It's like the Dollar General flea market.
Yeah, there's like a little dirty, dark room off to the side, like to the back of it, like almost like it used to be. Looks like a parking garage. Like they used to park things there, Tim. Doesn't it look kind of like a garage?
It's like where they would like forklift stuff in, like bigger items, like in the back. But they have these people set up these booths, and they're kind of permanent. Although one set always seems to change, but.
Yeah, because the fishing poles and stuff. Yeah,
there's a lot of. That's where the videos are. There's these like couple boxes of like shitty beat up comics.
I spent 75 cents in there.
You know, for me,
75 cents. But I bought a tape there once from this guy. I think it was like 50 cent tape or something, and like I had my dollar, I give it to him, and like you know, he doesn't have a change box. He just like starts fishing around in his pants for a couple quarters to get back.
And you're just like, they were
the dirtiest. And the money was all dirty and moist, wasn't it?
Dude? It was warm and kind of damp, and I think it had something growing on it. I bought that I was hopeful was like somebody taped a whole bunch of homemade TV. Like it said, like Married with Children and some other stuff. And I was like, oh, it's going to have commercials and shit on it. So I'll take it. And you get home, you open it up, and it's like The Lion King 4, you know, Simba's Revenge or something.
So we watched it.
Wow.
But we still watched it.
It was a news tape. It was like a Disney tape that stuck in one of their boxes. They taped TV on. I was like, I want the tape with the TV show on it. I don't want Simba's Revenge or whatever the hell it was. It was a Disney
movie. I love the mystery tapes. Tim and I like both agree. Like it's a special kind of breed that enjoys like the blank mystery tape where it has some scrawled. And then you're like, you don't ever know what you're gonna get. And we found one. We found one in my old boss's door when I worked at a community college when I was like 14 or 15. And like my friend Scott and we couldn't wait to take it. We found it in Jim's desk and we like snuck it out in our backpacks. And we're like, oh my god, what's gonna be on it? And it was nothing good. I mean, he had a little, you know, we were like, oh, it could be like all kinds of crazy porn or something. But it's like, no, and instead it was just like, oh man, this guy liked Donahue a lot, you know.
Donahue
like,
porn is the king.
It might be like a shitty TV show or it might be a murder. So
right. It could be his home movies, it could be the death. And I don't know. But one of these days you know you're gonna find some. But I like the blocks of old. Like I found a VHS tape that I had of I knew it was older because it was real heavy. You know how like, because like now the recent ones are really light and they feel like, you know, if you drop it, you'll break it. But the old ones were like a tank. They were a lot thicker and heavier. And I put it in and it was a whole bunch of weeks. I recorded the Fox shows on Sunday. Like Herman's Head and Married with Children and some of that stuff.
Man.
And it had all in the Ben Stiller show. I did too. And it had like all the commercials and it was a great line. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Even though you can buy all that stuff on DVD, I don't know if you can buy Herman's Head on DVD. Because I never think they've ever released it, did they?
I bet it's out there somewhere.
It might be on.
But I mean, like
it's not. It's such a. It's easy for them to get rights to like the lower tier shows. The handful of us watched. I like Herman's Head as well, but.
Yeah, it was, and remember he had the. I don't know. I was such a fag. Like I've always like since a kid like I always enjoyed that tension in the shows between like the main guy and the lady, like the Sam and Diane in Cheers, and then like the Bruce and Addie in Moonlighting, and then in Herman's Head, and her name was like Hetty or something like that. And that was just at the
blonde.
Yeah, she was real mean, but then they started kind of like there was always kind of like that.
Jane Sibet.
Oh, it was Jane Sibet. I know who that is. Why do I know who that is? It's in my head. It's blocking out math and things. It's taking a part of my calculation realm.
Well, it's the whole idea. I've said that to, like, you only have a certain amount of things that you could put in your head, and unfortunately, it's like a glass that it gets full and starts spilling over. So there's like there's the important stuff seems to be spilling over.
I've cleared out a lot of room for Neon Maniacs. So.
Oh yeah, we should.
Oh, let me give you my little take on it, and then we should jump ahead and get the review of the Expendables 2, because I'm interested to hear that. So the reason I enjoy, well, aside from what John said about there not being any explanation of squat, one of the more enjoyable things is the fact that people just kind of watch people get brutally murdered and go about their normal week. Like, this one girl sees people get slaughtered in horrible ways, and then, like, the next day she's at school, like, taking a test. You know?
Yeah.
No traumatization or anything like that. She goes on a date after somebody gets killed the next day.
She goes to school the next morning, like, yeah. After, like,
six people got just chopped up in front of her.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, and this is the other thing, it's not like it was just murdered, but by monsters. Yeah. So, it doesn't seem alarming, but like she's like, I mean, you know, well, like there were monsters that murdered her friends, and then so she went home, got in the pool, and then went to school the next day. It's like, oh, she's a little hardcore for my days.
So that video game violence has desensitized her.
Yeah, that Capcom cover. She'd played enough Street Fighter, and then I guess.
And, well, I don't want to give too much away, and Mike might watch this, but the
I hope you watch
the Battle of the Bands, man, that's something else. And
I remember that from the trailer. It was
it's so much more. It's so much more than the trailer.
I don't know if you guys can hear this, but I actually called up to. It's not playing.
What are you trying? Are you trying to call?
That?
No.
You can't hear that.
Nope.
I don't hear anything. Is it the Battle of the Bands song?
Yeah. Well, because he's like. You wonder what the squirt guns are for. Oh, yeah. The music was. What was the name of that band, Tim? It was Jaden.
Jaded.
Jaded.
There's the hair metal band versus like the Rick Astley knockoff band.
No, dude, it's not Rick Astley. It's more like the Billy Vera and the Beaters. Do you remember from the Family Ties? Do you remember that hokey?
Billy,
what would you think? Billy Vera and the Beaters?
No, I don't remember that.
No, okay. Did you watch Family Ties when you were a kid?
I always get that confused with, like, Growing Pains.
Family Ties is the Michael J. Fox one.
Okay.
But they had this thing when Alex P. Keaton was having his big dilemma with the girl, and then they played the song. That horrible song, What Would You Think? It's just off. But that band was just, oh, it's terrible. Oh, and here's the other thing, Hoke, that this guy in the film becomes, like, he starts out where he's, like, he's nerdy and, like, no one likes him. And, like, he wants to ask this girl out, you know, the girl whose friends were just murdered the night before and she's having lunch. And they kind of pin him out to be, like, he's this loser. But by the end of the film, like, he's been said, they say that he's the hottest guy in school, he's a brilliant musician, and he's, like, the shit. So, there's inconsistency.
What did you think I would do at this moment?
Is this Billy and the Beaters?
Yeah.
Vera and the.
Oh, this.
Tears in your eyes.
Yeah, okay.
When I was a kid, I thought my sister was the funniest person in the universe because she just weird what that was on, and she goes Billy Vera, more like Billy Peter, the Meat Beaters. And for some reason, it's not even that funny, but as a you know, like an 8 or 9 year old, you're like, oh my god, she's a genius. She's the biggest.
Oh,
but,
yeah, they are more like they are more like a poor version of that. But
so you could actually probably play some of his. Some of the music. It seems like it's coming through in your guys' end.
Oh, man. What is the...
And it's weird because the menu music, too, is that really kind of soft, like, Patti LaBelle kind of keyboard-sounding stuff. And it just... None of it makes sense. It's
weird.
Oh, that is musical.
Yeah, that's the one. And the great line, Tim had a great line. We were watching it too, because like the first line of the Wimpy Man is the guy says, let me ruin your evening, and Tim's like, you just did. He sings that.
How do you get a website called badmovies.org? How do you qualify as an org?
So yeah, because you said org is like it has to be like a government.
No, it has to. You have to be a nonprofit. I guess you're a nonprofit, but an org, that still seems like a stretch.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Here, you guys should look at this. I guess there's eltremendo3000.com.
Oh, that sounds like a good site. That sounds like a site that won't crash your computer.
Oh, let's have a look. See,
this is like right down your guys' our whole alleyway right here.
Like this is the Lewis and Clark of movies.
Masked Movies Geek Cinematic Takedown. Oh boy,
it says Takedown though. The Takedown results
kind of El Tremendo.
And Hoke, you got to watch. It's a tremendously entertaining. My nephews absolutely loved it, and they picked up some. And Tim had like two great lines, but the best line was the two guys are sitting there, and this is the other thing, Hoke, that they're supposed to be teenagers, and the girl at one point even says, "No one listens to us kids." And they all look like they're like close to being 30. I mean, they don't look anywhere near
the
high school.
In high school's got to be like, he looks like he's in his 40s.
Yeah, he does. He really looks. And they're sitting there at the table, and he's talking to her, and he goes, "Oh, I heard she only goes out with college guys." And he goes, "Where did you hear that?" Or he goes, "What did you hear that?" He goes, "Some of people from their other school." And the guy goes, "Well, what? And how did it go, Tim?" Because he said something about, "Where did you hear that?" He goes, "Well, my kids go to that school."
the guy in the high school is behind like the main character, and he's like. He's like, "Well, we heard that going around." He's like, "Where'd you hear it from?" And then we just ran off. Like, "My kids go to that college."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I blew your light. I should just let you say it. Or...
Right. No, it's boy, I don't even know what to make of that film. But
you know what's the artwork like on that site, like that poster? I think it's really cool. I really like it.
Yeah.
I mean, besides like where it's just like neon and like. Neon Mania. So they never explained. I mean, the neon, I guess, is just the gross stuff.
That kind of stuff is like, you can buy t-shirts that look like that. It's a website called networkawesome.com, which is pretty cool. I know I sent you guys that way before, but it's like they curate just a bunch of old like movies and stuff. And it's not like straight up, sometimes it's horror, but they'll do like a Roger Corman week. Where they have like a whole bunch of, and it's all on YouTube, and then like I'm like watching through something called Electronic Music Week, so it's like it goes.
Yeah,
you
sent me that. Like that was really cool. Yeah.
Neon Maniacs like cover reminds me a lot of like some of the merch that Network Awesome sells, but they do like weeks themed on like color, and then they'll do like they'll do like history of wars and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
on that site that you said that it says the card, it says the Village People of Movie Slashers.
Yes.
And then it also says the Kmart brand Steve Guttenberg, which is pretty good. And the soundtrack inspired by Casio.
So that
the tragic slaying of the Gordon's fisherman. That's how it starts out, Hoki. I gotta tell you that it's so bizarre because like, this guy, he finds this like it's like an animal skull, and he takes out and there's like this little book, and he undoes the book, and there's these pictures of each of the neon maniacs, and they look like giant baseball cards. Oh, and it's so two things. It's like, first of all, you had a pose for that picture, and someone had to print that for you. And secondly, like, why would you need to make cards? And like, that's gonna lure people in. And it's like it makes you go, well, they have a whole bunch of them in the back. They send them out as Christmas gifts. I mean, is that?
It's just is their murdering spree just a part of a marketing campaign?
I mean, there's other businesses involved in this. This is like an economic boon to somebody.
This strangely puts this movie at a conspiratorial level, that of like 9/11 denier.
How funny would it be though if they showed like their hideout? And like you're, they open up the doors, like, and you expect like this, you know, maniacs and dead bodies and stuff. And you go back there, and there's like maniacs with like little reading glasses over a table with pica poles and stuff, and they're like in a printing press, and they're typing and designing their baseball cards.
And there's some, you know, there's some college kid back there like schlepping coffee and stuff.
Yeah, the intern, they're always yelling at him.
And they're like, "You left a you left one of our sets of cards out in the dust."
There's like a whiteboard with strategy stuff marking all of it.
And they're all wearing white sleeve button up shirts with black ties, kind of like Mormons.
And suspenders.
Yeah.
They're all wearing Hawaiian shirts because it's Friday.
So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this Tremenda site. This guy hasn't done anything for like a year almost. I don't know if he just does it for Halloween, but like, it's been since like 2011 since his last post, so I don't feel so bad talking about it because I know he's not currently doing it right now.
Friday, and it looks like the post for that was from 2008. So
like this Tremendo guy reminds me of what I was watching yesterday on Peg TV, which
oh god,
John, are you're familiar with Peg TV, right?
No, you know what's funny? I have a notebook and a pen, and I'm writing stuff down. Like, network awesome, like peg.com.
Yeah, peg.tv, I believe.
Oh, peg.tv.
Oh, wow. Okay. The website's kind of funny looking. It's kind of a federation of public access television channels across the United States.
Tim, is that what we were watching through your...
That's what we watched some of that the independent wrestling on.
And that's exactly what that reminded me of. I went straight to the Cleveland channel, right?
Uh-huh.
And on the Cleveland... Oh, on their website, you can do live stream. That's pretty cool. On the Cleveland channel, I was flipping through because I was getting ready to go to the gym. And I was like, Cleveland Wrestling Alliance, let me go ahead and watch this.
Get pumped up for the gym.
Exactly, right?
By watching some guys with tights with flames that they painted on themselves in a tap out t-shirt.
So exactly an Affliction.
Yeah, Affliction t-shirt, and they come out to Disturbed or Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
So I was like, I started watching it, and like, like they had two guys who used to wrestle in this little Cleveland Wrestling Alliance league, and it looks like it sounded like they were both swallowing razor blades because they were so grizzled and they're like, I remember when I used to wrestle.
Are they fat? Were they big beer pot bellies kind of things?
No, I couldn't see. They didn't show their faces. But what really intrigued me was that Doink the Clown was wrestling.
Was it Matt Bourne? Because there was like several Doink, but Matt Bourne still does it. He's crazier than shit.
Yeah, well, this was the evil Doink, so I don't know if that.
But an excuse for someone else to dress up.
Was he kind of fat and?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably Matt Bourne. Ew.
Yeah, so like he was wrestling this guy named Mag Dog, like Parker or something, and it was like he had like jorts on. And then, like, he had, like, what looked like an Andre the Giant singlet, but I think it was more just, like, it was, like, a combination of the Andre the Giant singlet and, like a cotton plush, like, shirt. So it wasn't, like tights. It was more just, I think he had half his shirt, like, ripped off or something. And the Mag Dog, he's just this big old grizzled guy, and he just barks a lot. But, like, Doink came out, and he's all like, I'm evil. And he comes out with, like, this bucket of, like, obviously water. And he sets it down, and then he doesn't do anything. Exactly.
It's a bucket of cum.
Exactly.
And shit.
So they don't do shit. The match sucked. It was a bunch of hip tosses. It was lame. And finally, somehow, Doink wins by getting the three count and putting his...
Roll up with the feet on the ropes.
Yeah, he had the feet on the ropes. So he won, and it's like, woo, yeah, he's a bad guy and all that other stuff. So then he goes to the camera and is like, I told you someone would get this bucket. So he grabbed the bucket and he like threw it in this Mad Dog's face. And
it was chilly.
And he's all, and the Mad Dog is all like, oh, my eyes, they're burning, they're burning.
From the water.
From the water. And then like the announcers are trying to sell. It's like, I don't know what kind of liquid substance is in there. And I was just like, wow, this is amazingly terrible.
Well, you know what's funny about that whole gimmick of like the rag and the fumes, that Bill Watts was the only one like he he used to say, if you're gonna do that, then the crowd needs to be able to actually smell it. So they would do crazy shit like the stuff that you spray in bowling shoes. They would spray it on the rag, but they put the rag like where it's on the other side. But I'm sure you still smelled some of it. But that was the whole belief, and I never got that. Like, you know, it's just like, well, if it's just water. Everyone knows it's just water.
Yeah.
But if it stinks, if it smells even just a little bit, someone's gonna be like, they suspend their disbelief for just maybe a second, maybe. Probably not.
But that's all the hijinks that Doink did, and I'm just
like, so did it inspired you to go to the gym and take a bucket?
Exactly, right. I threw it in some hijinks' face. And he's like, thanks, man. That cooled me down a lot.
You're like, no, I'm evil. I'm evil. Supposed to burn your eyes, you son of a bitch.
Well, they offhandedly mentioned during this show, and thank you, Peg TV, for that. That was pretty cool for the 10-minute match that I got to watch. They mentioned that, like, they're selling other, like, wrestling contests. And, like, one of them was, like, Cleveland's own Family Guy Peter Griffith wrestled. And I'm like, what?
What?
Someone had a Peter Griffin wrestling gimmick?
That's genius.
I've tried to, I tried to look for it, and I'm trying to look for it now. And, like, the only thing I could come to was the Cleveland Wrestling Alliance's website, which happens to be a tripod page. So, I'm like, damn it, I really want to see this in action, and I haven't been able to find it. So if you guys can find it,
Cleveland's own Peter Griffin?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Would he be a heel or a face?
He's got to be, like, comic relief, don't you think?
It had to have been.
Wouldn't it be weird if, like, they had, like, the Peter Griffin, and he was really serious? And, like, the guy was like, look, I'm a serious wrestler. I'll do this gimmick. But anybody does it, like, he's a really, like, a hardcore kind of guy or something. That'd be awful. And then he's not comic. What
if it was not intended? What if the guy's name says Peter Griffin, and they're like, Cleveland's own Peter Griffin, and
he doesn't get it, yeah.
No reference at all, the Family Guy.
And his tights are all green, and he just doesn't get it. Everyone's laughing. He's like, I don't understand why this is so fucking funny. Now.
Is everybody
yeah, it's like, I don't hate. Just that laugh, and they're like, God damn, he's exactly like me. Actually, it's funny, because there was a guy that looked exactly like me, because Derek and I... you remember that girl, Brawin, or whatever her name was?
Didn't you talk about the guy with the handcuffs?
No, that guy was, kind of looked like Peter Griffin. But, but we can go back to the handcuff guy. I don't know, Hokey, if you remember the handcuff man at the CSW shows.
The big, fat creepy guy. The guy voted most likely to have people chained up in his basement.
Right, yeah. The guy most likely to bring back the Pogo the Clown revival, kind of. Yeah. But no, but Brawin was that girl that was hanging around with. She was friends with Ren, the Renaconda.
Oh, Ren. Yeah.
And she had this friend when they came down, and they had lunch with me and Derek. And oh my God, this guy looked exactly. He even had the weird chin like Peter Griffith had. Derek said something about that to Brawin, and she said. She goes, oh, yeah. She goes, that's what he went for as Halloween. He got the green pants and the white shirts. I'm like, oh, at least he has a sense of humor that he's like Peter Griffin. But
he's got balls.
Yeah, balls. But, oh, God. So speaking of, like, I know we talked a little about maybe possibly, like, the whole Origins thing. So, Hokey, did I actually met you at a wrestling show. Was that the first time I met you? Was it a CSW show?
I don't know. I think...
Pay-per-view.
I think it was a pay-per-view. Because I remember you showed up and you brought the mentally challenged guy with you.
That was Tim's mentally challenged guy.
I wasn't calling you mentally challenged.
No. I was saying that was
the challenged guy to a pay-per-view with everybody. I took John to one of them at his place, but God, that was messed up.
No, we saw one with the mentally challenged guy, and then John is with us. I remember mentally challenged guy.
Tim 2. T2.
Oh, that's boy. I don't remember I don't remember intentionally exposing you to him, Mike. I apologize.
I think he was either there or you guys just bagged on him.
I think we probably just bagged. The only person I think that saw him firsthand was John. Because we went to his house, and he almost attacked John because John was making fun of the Undertaker.
No, yeah, that's right. He was the biggest Undertaker fan.
I was laughing because that was the year they had Maven dropkick him out in like 3 seconds, and I didn't say anything, and I never talked because when people are really passionate about something, like, and they're kind of they've got a screw loose, it's best not to poke him with a stick. Just, yeah. You know,
you don't have to
say, oh yeah, I love the Undertaker too, but you just have to kind of go, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I can see why you like him, buddy. But when that happened, I was doing the like trying not to laugh, you know, like laugh. And he's like, what? Oh, and he just went crazy. And then he's like, look, and he's, then he's like, shut the fuck up, or something.
He's like, shut up.
Yeah. But you remember, though, I mean, unfortunately, like, I don't know if it's unfortunately, but I hadn't thought about him for years. And I think, Tim, like, we talked about him on one of my, poor Tim, he has to listen to me rant and rave, like, several times a week on my commute back home. But I hadn't thought about him for years, but I remember, like, I was the one who ended up, like, kind of, like, I don't lack a better term, like, turning him in. Because he admitted to me that he's been smoking pot. And so I had to tell you because, you know, because he was all messed up. I don't know if you know Hokie, but he was all messed up from, like, doing crack or something?
It was crack or meth. He was fried. His brain was fried from something. Yeah.
Remember he would rent pornos like by like the boat. He would take the bus down to that miracle
video. He would bus to the video store and then he would dub pornos.
He would dub pornos?
He would rent like pornos at home and yeah. He was always constantly like copying porn.
Yeah.
Like tape to tape.
Man, the internet must have been a salvation for him.
Yeah, well.
He didn't. I don't think he had internet. I don't think
he had a computer, no. But he did have a Chinese bathrobe that hung off the back. When you go and use the bathroom, you shut the door, and it would freak you out. Yeah. And he had like one of those like Magnum PI well manicured mustaches, and it was just oh. And remember that giant black guy who would hang over there, and he had that his girlfriend who looked like she was 12.
What?
Do you remember that?
There was a guy who supposedly was his friend. I think he might have more been a drug dealer. And he was trouble. I'm pretty sure, you know, given the right circumstances, the guy probably would have put a knife in me.
Well,
yeah, he just
if there was an advantage to be had, or had I had anything of value.
wow.
But a
little girlfriend who seemed like she was way too young to be his girlfriend or anybody's girlfriend for that matter.
Okay, and I'm sorry. This is my first of many perv moments, probably, but. This guy was a big dude, and this girl was little. And I remember saying to Tim, and this is where I didn't feel so bad because Tim kind of, I think you thought the same thing, but I'm like, how did she handle that much hog? I mean, cause you know, it's like, because you hear stories.
There are some definite proportion issues that I had to
Yeah. Have. I mean, because you hear stories about, like, women that are, like they're around here, there's a lot of tiny women, like, you know, from, like, Filipinos and stuff. And I didn't realize, like, sometimes, like, they're too small to give birth, so they have to do this, you know. And I was just like, this woman was tiny, and this guy was huge. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy just impaled her. I mean, it's like a fence post, probably. Sorry.
It's like one of those, like, Italian puppet thingies, right? Where you're holding your hand on a stick, and then you're pulling the string, and the legs kick up.
Yeah, they keep flying up.
Yeah.
Like, so how was it? Oh, I'm sorry, I just regained consciousness. I'm gonna need some saline IV and a blood transfusion. But I think it was great.
Hey, who's doing all the whistling? Oh, wait. Vagina.
They don't call me K with the Winds for nothing.
Oh, Missouri. Cave of the Wind. Was the Cave of the Winds in Missouri?
It's in Colorado.
It's in Colorado. We were at the Cave of the Winds, and the reason I remember that,
what was her name?
My parents took me and my little brother driving through like South Dakota and Wyoming, and we popped through Colorado on the way back to Kansas City. We stopped at the Cave of Winds, and the only reason I remember that is that there was, like, this one real narrow passageway that one person could barely, like, I could barely squeeze through.
Uh-huh.
And at that exact moment, my dad ahead of me decided to cut the nastiest part on the planet. So we're walking down in the tourist hill, and people behind us are saying, "Man, the cave's really smelling here."
So, I thought you were gonna say that your dad trapped you in there, and like you were like wedging your way through, and he just. And then you find out later that he drove 300 miles out of the way just to set up so he could trap you in the cave and shit on you.
So we were kind of, I was grossed out. And then after my dad told me, I was like, okay. As long as I wasn't the only one that felt the brunt. But seeing all these people getting grossed out over the Cave of the Winds. Cave of the Winds of all places where you cut a fart. And it was glorious.
And then you're just like, it's like, I've never loved my father more than I did that.
Yes. I never hated him for a split second and then loved him.
Oh, God. You find a map and there's like a big target on the camera.
God, yeah. Yeah. I like accidentally bump into the visor in the car and like it falls down. Maps and plans fall into my lap.
All you find is in the trunk of the car, like all of his, is like, things that make him fart, like all you find a like, jar of like, hard-boiled eggs and cauliflower. He's like, he was planning this. My dad had some heinous ones. Like, my dad still a lot of times when I get a Christmas card, it's a sign methane mine. So that tells you all. So how did we get off a Cave of the Winds? I don't know.
Because the origin story of like
origin stories.
Oh yeah. Cave of the Winds and the it all makes sense now.
Yes.
Mentally challenged Undertaker fans.
We go from Undertaker fans to 12-year-old.
12-year-old underage girl that some guy was
saying. The Cave of the Winds to my dad farting. It makes perfect sense.
I think if you look at it, it does all make logical sense. Yeah.
If you whiteboard it, you gotta write it all out. And the cave.
I put this in a flowchart. It's just gonna look clear today.
It's probably in the Maniac's war room right now.
Yeah. The intern's working on tape, taking the notes.
Yes. We don't need samurai swords to kill people. We'll just suffocate them with nasty, gnarly parts.
I think that one of my this is how I always think of Hokie, and it's funny because like. You know, working for CSW, like, you know, they did the thing where they gave me the plaque and the send-off and everything, and I have that on DVD, but it's not my favorite thing that I have on DVD. My all-time favorite thing I have on DVD is there were the Raven and Strider matches. I was watching with Justin, and Justin goes, "Wow, look at that guy in the crowd. He's happy. He's dancing." And it was Hokie. And you're doing like a running man or something, and you cut your hair.
You do the one leg, and the arms go up in the air, kind of like you're punching up in the sky.
Yeah, I was really excited about something. It might have been the nacho cheese from the can on the hot dog.
I think it was you were farting and you were dancing, but it's just so funny because Justin's like watching, because you know sometimes
look at that guy.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, crowd is loving it," and he's like, "That guy's dancing." I was like, "Oh man, that's Hope. It's so awesome." And then also, you had one of my favorite lines to him too is, which is funny because like we went and it was the first time we saw Justin wrestle, and you know later he's one of my closest friends, but it's funny because he had that shirt that said "Stiff as Hell" on the back, and he was dancing around, and you yell that to him. You go, "Stiff as hell, thanks to Viagra, you limp dick." And even he kind of cracked a smile, and I asked him about that later. He goes, "Yeah," he goes, "I just about lost it when he yelled that." Yeah, so that's kind of how I remember just going to a lot. And I remember the Amos Center when you lock the windows and Hokie dropped that cat shit smelling fart.
We hotboxed it.
We were intentionally hotboxing, but not in the cool kids way, but more in the grossly disgusting way. I was consciously reenacting the Cave of the Wind story is what I was doing.
It was a historically accurate reenactment.
Yes.
And some people have as Civil War reenactments we have at the times when my dad shit in my face. Here's the great Thanksgiving fart of 1985. reenacted by my friends.
Your dad shit in your face.
All the time.
Like actual shit or like just no, like sharks or
no.
You guys are dropping steam
drops on me.
That would be so much funner if you did. Oh.
Yeah, there could be, I have chest hair. You can't drop locks on me.
Sorry, son, it's tradition.
If I didn't have chest hair, I wouldn't be as disgusted by the idea of someone pooping on me, but there's something about that poop getting in the hair.
Yeah. If it was, like, bald and pristine, then it's like, oh, yeah, it slides right off.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that I've actually thought, and I hear stories about people like, well, like, Jim Norton supposedly, like, he'll hire, like, escorts and women to poop on him. Like drop logs on his chest, does he? And I'm like, why would you do that? I don't. Ugh.
Why would you talk? Why would you put that in your stand-up set?
No, I think it was just in his conversation.
It's just like normal conversation for Jim Norton, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, he's tough, man. Oh, yeah, okay. I should find the link to send you. There's a O&A episode with Patton Oswalt on. Then they do a talk when Jim Norton talks about screwing a tranny in the butt, and then all of a sudden he realizes that there's balls hanging there because it's dark. It's a tremendous story, so now you two guys, you guys went to high school together, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we did. Although I remember we hung out with a mutual friend here and there, but we really didn't get to know each other until like college.
Yeah, I think junior, senior year, we kind of started running a little more with the same little group, and then...
No, was that with Jolly and those guys?
No, because Jolly was in college, and
okay.
Jolly was in K-State, and I would go every weekend, pretty much, to Lawrence and hang out with Tim and Sean and Kirk and those guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like our senior year of high school, I think, maybe even, it might have been the summer, even the spring summer, I think he started playing poker with me and Andy and Sean and Kirk.
Has anyone heard from Andy?
Because there was at some point, I know, I was at, maybe that was in college, I'm not entirely sure. You had a party at your parents' house at one point.
Yeah, that was kind of lame. I'm terrible at throwing parties.
I just remember I had to take, who the hell, somebody got tanked, and I had to have Louie drive me home because I got tanked.
was that when you threw up on yourself and then you went to the convenience store?
No,
you had dried up. That was in high school. That was in junior high.
Oh, I got some stories. Maybe for next time, I got some great vomit stories.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll say that. For next time.
I was just trying to remember like how because it's funny because like the guy at my comic shop, he does kind of the Andy bet, where he's a big Redskins fan, and every year he puts $100 on the Redskins to win the Super Bowl. And it was Andy that put for the Royals and the Chiefs to win every year. And I just thought, like, I wonder what happened to that guy.
Well, I talked to him, which was like before I left town, he still kind of does it. He hangs out in South Olathe. Shooting pool. He's on like a pool team. I don't know. I forgot what he does for his day job. Because I mean,
he's at Jose
Tequila
Pepper.
Harry's. It was Tequila Harry's.
He's at Jose Pepper's now.
Oh,
he's moved. Is that a move up or is that a lateral move?
I would say it's probably a lateral.
Is he tending or is he serving?
I don't remember if he said last time. Last time I talked to him was right before I moved, and I think he was. He was on Tequila Harry's. He's at Jose Pepper's. I think he might have been doing bartending, but I know he had some things that may have prevented that from being allowed.
Oh.
Yes, I knew that happened, but I didn't know if that was, like, passed on across the board. Like, if he just got a job at a different place, he might be able to tend or something.
You know what the horrible thing I just thought of when you said that he had things that would tend to keep him from bartending? If I would go in there, they wouldn't let me serve food or work in the kitchen because I'm too fat. They're like, well, there's some things that will keep you from being around the food. Like what? You're going to eat it all? You're too
you fat bastard.
I'm a little less of a fat bastard right now. I've actually been doing... Tim inspired me when I was back visiting. Tim's looking pretty svelte, homie. He's been riding his bike.
He's very lean.
He is. He's getting lean. And you're pretty lean too. Probably you
go to the gym. Yeah, I go to the gym a lot. I would say that I'm a little bit more toned than anything else.
Yeah, tone's good.
Yeah.
But no, I'm trying to think of Mr. Andy. He was there. I think there's some state regulations that would prevent certain people from working in the bar. Because I do think you have to have a special, you have to have a bartender's license to actually work.
Yeah, bar. I think it's bald people, I think.
Yeah, he kind of always looked like a blonde Quagmire to me. Every time I see Quagmire, I'm like, oh, I wonder how that
goes. No, but last I heard, his pool team was doing pretty good, and I know at one point wasn't
it? They won a tournament. I don't know if it was like enough to get him qualified to quote unquote go to Vegas.
They won a local tournament.
They play enough to where they're good enough to compete like that. So
yeah, they got first place in some kind of local or regional tournament, and I think they gave him an opportunity to play for a spot to go to Vegas or something like that. But I'm trying to think just back.
I don't know when the first time that we actually, like, I consciously remember hanging out with you, Tim.
We went, you went, the first time that you and I think really went and did something just, like, on our own, we went to the Chemical Brothers.
Yeah, that was cool.
Really? That's way better than the first time, Tim, that we hung out. Do you remember what we did the first time, Tim? Besides butt sex? Do you remember, because this yeah, makes me, like, I'm the most... I'm the most like sentimental homo.
Well, I'm trying. You lived in that apartment up on the hill.
Uh-huh.
You had the little blue car. I feel like the first time we hung out. No, the first time we went to Saving Silverman.
Right there, you go. And because it was either Labor Day or Memorial Day, and we hung out. We played the 64 Nintendo game.
Yeah, we played
wrestling game, and then we went to see Saving Silverman. And every time I see Saving Silverman, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the first movie. That was pretty awesome.
That's a great movie.
It is a really good movie. It holds up, too. It's so funny.
It's timeless. Not unlike Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and that was before, like, I was absolutely had an ass full of Jack Black, which I can't stand him now.
He hadn't quite broken all the way through yet and everything. He was kind of a side character in that.
Yeah.
Even Zahn was the better character in that one, I think.
But I do like the part when Jack Black, they're sitting there and he goes, you know, he says that he's gay, and then he goes, hey, do you want to be gay with me? That whole delivery, that line was just, he's like, no.
That is a good.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because it's hard to remember, like, because. And Tim, you talked about that Louis episode where it kind of deals with this. Like, you get to a certain age and it's kind of awkward. And I don't really remember, like, who instigated, like, let's go hang out and be, you know, do something. Because it's so awkward in some ways, you know, to be, like, when you meet another guy and you kind of, like, at work or whatever, and you're talking and you're like, hey, dude, you want to hang out sometime? It's I don't know. Maybe it's not that way for you guys, but I always feel extremely.
I always do. I still, and that's one of the problems I have when I moved down here is that, you know, I was too comfortable with running around the same kind of guys. So, like, when you get down to a new place, you have to go through that awkwardness all over again. And I still, I'm just kind of like, I'd rather stay at home and watch porn.
Well, it's just like. And you're like what I would consider somewhat. I consider you like much more.
You retarded.
Socialize much. You socialize much easier. At least give the appearance of like being comfortable with new people than like I do for the most part.
It's me or Hokey.
Both of you.
Both of you.
For me, it's because usually I have to have a drink because I'm really nervous, and it's like one of those nervouses where it's like. Where it's like, you know, any kind of silence is awkward, which makes things weird. Yeah. So think of something funny to say and keep it moving along, you know?
Yeah, and then you start getting flops when you're, oh, this isn't going well.
Yeah,
that didn't land. I think I might have offended them.
Well, and that's what's so interesting is I wish I had that. I'm an idiot. I just like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, whoops. It's kind of like just say whatever's on my mind. And because I guess I just assume everyone is like, you know, my close friends where I can make a wisecrack and I can say things. And like, because at work, I'm like utterly alone at times because I'm like, I work around people who, you know, a lot of them went to go see the Fast and the Furious 5. And they're really excited about
to go see it. They're like, yeah, I want to go see
they're
it.
They're excited about Drake and Usher and stuff like that. And I'm just and they don't get any subtleties. And like the guy that they think is the funniest is like, to me, is like not that funny.
So they're big Dane Cook fans.
Yeah, you know, and I think Dane Cook kind of gets a bad rap. Tim and I had talked about this before because, like, I mean, I know a lot of people hate him, but it's like I find some of his stuff pretty good. I mean, I don't know.
Some of it.
He was like the OAR of stand-up comedians.
Okay. Yeah,
OAR.
Well, what makes it hard for me, like with him, is because he comes across, and maybe I'm totally wrong, you guys don't see, but he comes across as a likable person.
Yeah,
he comes across as like a really like a guy that he would be fun to hang out with, and you know he's not like totally full of himself, but you know, and Tim, by the way, and Hoagie, we talked about this too, but he could definitely be a deal with the devil guy.
Oh yeah,
deal with the devil guy.
Yeah, Tim and I we have that discussion a lot more than we probably should as grown men who don't even believe in the devil, but we believe in the deal.
Don't believe in the devil, but you believe in the deal.
That's a T-shirt right there.
Yeah,
that's our first T-shirt. Thanks. We're already making T-shirts. We sell them at one place only: the annex of the flea market in Wichita.
That's right, with rash-inducing material.
Yeah, Phil, I'm going to make one. Let me get some puff paint right now.
We could know that super washed cotton that says, like, the fresh off the machinery. Oh, it's all rough.
Oh, that would make so much sense, too, right? Because, you know, that rash would bleed through, and then when you take off the shirt, the rash would be on your skin, and then it would
look like stigmata.
Yeah.
Yes, we are...
Somebody record this. Oh, wait.
The stigmata t-shirt line.
You know how many people? A whole three.
It's a little more genuine than, like, Affliction. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a little more hardcore. It's like, oh, you've got an affliction through. This shirt will give you a fucking rash. It's going to burn it into your skin. How tough are you? You got a tattoo with barbed wire? Guess what? Our shirts have actual barbed wire.
That's right.
Our shirts are actually going to make you bleed.
Yeah, this shirt. Wait till you see our underwear line. What it's gonna do?
Yes,
cave of the fuck your underwear. Ass. It's got a dildo on the back.
Except it's not a dildo. It's a strategic positioning assistant. Because sometimes when you sit in a chair and like you unintentionally have your butt cheek squeezed too hard. So then when you sit in a chair and, like, you could feel the pressure on your hips and your butt cheeks as they're, like, all perched together. And then you got to, like, kind of shift to the left and the right to, like, let your butt cheeks spread out in the bucket of the seat. Like, the quote-unquote dildo in the underwear would solve that from the beginning where you wouldn't have to do that extra two butt cheek step adjustment. I mean...
It's a cheater bar.
Yes, exactly, right? It's training wheels for how to sit properly.
Oh God! I gotta tell you, I slipped the other day at work. Where they make us do these stretches because of carpal tunnel, like so many people have been just banged up, you know. And so they gave us these kits with these different things. They have those flex bars, and the you know what I'm talking about? Those ridge things that you bend and everything. And I slipped, and I had a lead stretches. I said, "Okay, everyone, take out your marital aid." Because it looks like a big floppy primitive dildo, but no one got it. That right there will just sum up where I work. I said, everyone take out your marital aid, and no one even blinked an eye at it. So
they're like, do they say bro or bra?
They say dude a lot.
Okay.
The words that I hate, and I always ask Tim. We try to track like the sayings, like from where I like how long it takes to get to Kansas. But the words they say, they were saying hella and hecka a long time ago, and now the word is crusty.
Oh no!
They say all the time.
So they're turning into Pauly Shore.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That is like
Pauly Shore.
But if you would tell them that, they would be like, "What's a Pauly Shore?
What's a Pauly Shore? It's like kids these days."
Ugh.
And it's crusty is like cool. What is the crusty standard?
Well, if you say something. Like stupid, if like you're like, oh man, that guy just farted, and then someone said, oh man, that's hella crusty. And it's but just
it can
like,
also be good, can't
that
it?
Is something that no, Pauly Shore always... would say. That is exactly like that's Shoreisian dialect right there.
It's more like that's crusty.
That's crusty, buddy.
Yeah, but see, with him though, that it was kind of positive. But yeah, it's. But and I'm trying to think of something. But yeah, they say, all right, bro. They say that a lot. You know, like if you're leaving,
all right,
but
bro.
It's like, oh man, and it's yeah, it's bad. I don't understand. And I always make fun. Like I have a really good friend who you know he's a good guy and everything, and I like him, and he's a solid person, but. I mean, the shit he listens to, and I'm always like, dude, I'm like we'll get in his truck and we'll go somewhere. I'm like, dude, why are we listening to lady music? And he was like, what? I'm like, this is like what girls listen to. I'm like, this is like smooth, like I want to, you know, fuck you kind of music. This isn't like two dudes driving to go have some dim sum. I mean, you know, it's like
it's just like one dude trying to get dim sum.
Yeah, it's such a that was a beach ball size. Softball. I just served right up for Hokie. He just hit it like 570 feet.
It's like all and time slowed down as that sucker floated out in the ether.
Yeah, like, I threw a beach ball, a knuckleball going 40 miles an hour of a beach ball, and you hit it 570 feet dead center.
No performance enhancing drugs for that.
None needed for that.
Still hanging in space.
Yeah. You could see it from, it's still in the air.
It's in orbit. It got hit so fucking.
It just up. Had its picture taken from the Curiosity rover.
Service of fucking Mars.
Oh, goodness. But,
what kind of music was the guy listening to? Was that another, like, Deal with the Devil artist or something?
Well, I think all of that shit sounds the same. A lot of vocoder stuff. And a lot of it's just kind of slow and it just you know it's about music like I want to get with your girl like that kind of stuff and I don't get, and it's like a whole mix of I can understand it like okay well, this is my getting down mix you know it's like but you know it, but even then it's like I mean I would feel absolutely cliche if I was gonna have sex and you were gonna play music and you play like the most obvious choice. You know, I mean, you make music, you're playing music, you just feel like, to me, like, there's no originality. I'm not saying you need to play, like, Slayer or Cannibal Corpse or anything.
But you know what would work? It would be Doink's theme song. Where it's do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then it turns all dark and shit.
I heard about them.
And then you go limp. But you know, that music, it's like it just doesn't seem like it has a place anywhere. Because if you play it in the bedroom, like which it's supposedly intended for, it seems cliche and silly. And then if you know you play it like as you're just driving around, then you just seem kind of weird.
So it's kind of like you're establishing the opposite sex that you acknowledge that they perhaps would like this kind of music and that you identify with it. You shouldn't really actually be a fan of it.
Right. You could say like, yeah, that's cool. That I know, but I would. You don't have to listen to it without women being present. That's what you're saying, which is like,
yeah, you don't need to know the backstory. You just need to know enough to get in her pants. like spinning plates.
That's what we think of the masturbating.
Yes, exactly.
Masturbating bear when he hears that. Tim, I told you that like when I was back from my grandpa's funeral in April, I went and saw my nephews perform at an orchestra thing, and they played that song, and I'm like in the back of the room going, just thinking about the masturbating.
That reminded me of Jackie the Junkman's, my favorite Jackie the Junkman Martling's joke. This is my favorite joke of his.
And I have one of his too that I can. I love his jokes. Go ahead.
What's the most sensitive part of your body when you're masturbating?
I don't know.
Your ear.
Oh. Bad.
Oh. That's my favorite.
The one that I heard on his show was why can't Stevie Wonder see his friends? Because he's married.
Did he do a deal with the devil?
You know what? Maybe not, because at the time when he came through, I mean, that guy, I mean, say what you will about what a creep he is and kind of a hack, but that guy's brain is, like, so full of...
I feel like he just kind of, like, memorized Branch Knott's Truly Tasteless Joke.
Yeah. which Tim knows, because Tim bought a $2 book at Gizmo's.
I've had multiple volumes of that when I was in middle school.
I like that old-time kind of joke, you know, where it doesn't really...
I have the giant book of dirty jokes, and all the scenarios involve, like, using old-timey language, like a gentleman walks into a establishment and da-da-da-da-da. And the fine woman behind the counter says,
"Yeah, because they don't say words like, you know, like dick, you know, and even like pussy. They like vagina and like,
yeah, because like, it's like a dirty joke, but they're not going blue, right?
Yeah, like we want this to be. You could still tell it at a party.
It's an anatomically correct." Yeah. Terminology is correct medical terminology, but the joke's still there.
Jokes for Bridge Club.
So yeah, he says, "You'll need to remove it for my anus."
It's funny because I'm sitting here in this spare room, and I see Christie's bookshelf that has like California Hiking and The Power of Zen, and she's gonna give me this bookshelf and move it to another bookshelf. And I just thinking about like what my books are gonna look like. It's gonna be like Bruiser Brody, and then a lot of volumes of dirty jokes. It's like, it's like, why do you have a whole set of these things? Why not?
I need them all.
You need to go, like, I don't know, let me do some research on that. Go grab your dirty joke book.
I'm consulting the chapter on fellatio humor.
Well, that's the other thing, too, because the paperback ones I have, like, Truly Tasteless Jokes, they break it into sections.
Yeah, like, it's like a handy-dandy reference guide.
Yeah, it's like you think anyone has ever taken a book out, like they're at a party, like, oh, I need a black joke.
And they... Yes, exactly.
Okay, here we go.
Got one.
Okay. Let me do something topical about Helen Keller. that's current. And there's always a fucking section of Helen Keller jokes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I loved reading it as a middle schooler because I didn't know who the hell she was. So I'm like, wow, this person must be really bad.
You didn't have to watch The Miracle when you were a kid?
What?
You didn't have to watch The Miracle Worker when you were a kid?
No, I don't even know. I don't know.
That's the movie. That's the Hollywood movie about Helen Keller and Anne. What was the other lady's name? God, I was going to say Anne Frank, but it's not Anne Frank.
That would be true.
Tim, that would be the worst action buddy team-up movie ever. Helen Keller and Anne Frank.
Can you just imagine them running away from an explosion and diving?
Oh, God.
And then just imagine him standing back-to-back with machine guns shooting Nazis. You know, that guy back. And Frank, Helen Keller.
Kind of yell like Sylvester Stallone, Helen Keller.
Ann Sullivan was the lady who worked with her.
Helen Keller.
At least her name was Ann. Ann Sullivan, not Ann Frank. Oh, God.
One can see blind rage from the Nazis.
Oh crap!
Like, it was as good of a segue as we can think here about the Expendables 2.
Yeah,
we need to get that. We need that. I want to hear about this film.
Oh, yeah,
we're at 1:27 right now.
What?
We've been talking for an hour and 27 minutes. We've been
making magic for an hour and 28 minutes. But we need an Expendables 2 review is what we need.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so have you guys seen the first one?
I have not seen either.
Oh, Tim.
I'm going to see it. It's right there on my...
It should be on Netflix.
I think it's on Netflix. I may have to watch it. I might even watch it today. We'll see.
My problem is that I have about 650,000 other movies I want to see before.
Well, if you want a good palate cleanser, then check out an Expendables movie because it's just a bunch of really old, crusty action film stars getting together and blowing shit up. So if you're wrought with like some overstimulation from some like stupid foreign movie or you know.
You're talking directly to me. The house I live in, I have to watch.
So if you want a good palate cleanser, then, you know, check out the Expendables series. For the first one, the first one kind of sets everybody up and everybody gets their line. I think with the second one, they kind of start rotating people in and out, which makes sense because, like, Stallone leads, like, a mercenary group, so it's easy to do that. So I think with the second one, they let people go and they kill people off a lot quicker. Like,
do they get their lines in, like, from past movies, or are these new lines?
Only applied to Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was kind of it started to get a little corny after a while.
Like, I'll get to the chopper.
There's specifically, I'll spoil this one scene for you just to give.
No, it's okay. You could spoil the shit out of this.
Like, there's this one scene where Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger are shooting shit up together, right? And Schwarzenegger says, "Yeah, I'll be back." And then Willis is like, "No, no, I'm going. I'll be back. You always be back." So he says, "I'll be back." And he runs away, and then Schwarzenegger mumbles, "Yippee-ki-yay," then.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
But it's like they're making fun of themselves so like doing it.
See? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
I just drank a big thing of coffee, and then you just said that. It just made me belch. my soul just died.
I mean, the stuff is so over the top. Like, Chuck Norris is in there. Like, Chris Hemsworth. They brought in Chris Hemsworth. And here's the use of creativity, right? Chris Hemsworth, like, name in the movie is Bill the Kid. So
that's awesome.
He plays the guy who just started out in the group. So Jean-Claude Van Damme in the second one plays a really good bad guy. He's pretty much a dick anyway. So the translation went pretty well. Like, he's a pretty good bad guy in this movie. As a matter of fact, I think he was better than the Eric Roberts bad guy in the first movie.
Eric Roberts was in the first one?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was the bad guy. He was like the bad CIA agent.
Oh boy. Just went up a couple notches on my list.
Eric Roberts is the best villain, and the best villain that he ever played in a movie was, I don't know if you guys have seen it, I always tell Tim about it, but Star 80. Have you ever seen that movie?
No,
About Dorothy Stratton, the Playboy, model, and he was her husband. Oh my God, it's the creepiest, scariest performance. I mean, Star 80 with Eric Roberts. If you get a chance to ever see that, I mean, it makes you uncomfortable. It's so good.
I did not realize Eric Roberts is in the first one.
Yeah, that kind of makes me want to see it, because that's a fantastic, crazy
battle. I mean, and everybody gets their fight scenes. So, like especially in the first one, Jet Li gets a good fight scene. Jason Statham gets a good fight scene. Dolph Lundgren is just kind of like a lumbering fool in it.
Is Randy Couture in it?
Yeah, he's in both of them, too. And, like, his whole shtick is, like, he's this deeply philosophical guy who happens to have a cauliflower ear. And Terry Crews is hilarious in him.
Who's Terry Crews?
He's the Old Spice man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Old Spice guy, we got a spot?
Yeah, he's in both of them. Like, wow. Seriously, like, Stallone was just like, the hell with it. Let's just round up all these old farts and blow up stuff.
That's genius, though. I was telling Tim, I think, and I might send him an email to you, but I think it's really, I don't know why they didn't do that in the 80s. Do you know how much money that would have made in the 80s? Like, if they would have
they all wanted to be their own show.
Yeah, but if they could have just, like,
combined their forces. Aside, like Voltron, God. Right?
But someone always has to be the pink Voltron.
One of the funniest things I've always liked on, and I've done it a couple times, is in Family Guy, Peter doesn't refer to, like, the characters in those movies as their name.
Yeah.
He refers to them as Die Hard. So, like, anything he talks about, so he's like, and then Die Hard runs in the room.
Man, so the Expendables, you'd be like, and then Terminator ran in the room, and then Missing in Action came in, and then Rocky IV came in.
That's pretty much it. And then Crank came in, and then...
Is the plot, like, super basic? Like, there's some diamonds, we need to get them.
Yes, except it's plutonium in Russia.
Mm. Oh, that's
the second one. The first one, it's you have to overthrow this like overlord in this island or something.
Oh, those are just classic 80s themes right there.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a palate cleanser. If you really like want to wash away from anything too pretentious, fire this up. The only thing I'll say about the first one and they fixed in the second one is Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke was pretty terrible in the first one, and they got it. They cut him out of the second one.
What is he? How is he terrible? Is he just not?
He's not an actor. I think he was a little. I think he got a little big-headed when he was nominated for The Wrestler.
The Wrestler, yeah.
Which I think is because he did a deal with the devil. And
he took out a second mortgage on his deal.
Yes, exactly. But in this Expendables, he's like the guy that runs the bike shop and tattoo parlor that the guys have as their headquarters / place they run around in.
Oh, this is starting to sound better and better.
So, like, Mickey Rourke is like the old guy who used to do it. Now he just sticks around and like sleeps around with women and gives everybody tattoos. And he had one scene in the movie. He was talking about why he quit like the army and why he quit everything. And it was on Brad Pitt in 7 levels of how hard he was trying to cry and he couldn't really cry. And it was amazingly terrible.
Well, Brad Pitt in 7 levels, are you talking about the end with what's in the box?
And he's just like, oh, God.
I have to rewatch that to see if it's really bad, because I mean, I remember being okay.
I just remember that the fake crying, the crying that he was trying to do in that just seemed... It's completely unconvincing.
Okay. Huh. I'm going to have to see that. I'm curious. Seven's a great movie, though. I mean, it's good in it.
Seven
than
is
that,
a
though,
great
right?
movie.
Except for that end part, he's not very good at it.
Yeah. But, like, so Mickey Rourke, thankfully, is not in the second one. But, like, in the second one, they're just, like, I think they've established that they can rotate anybody in and out that they want to.
Yeah.
And that's good, because, like, I guess if you're wondering what Jolly's been up to, Jolly, like,
it's in the Expendables.
No, but he pays very close attention to movies in his spare time from his day job of like being like a pool sales manager of some sort. So he's moving
did
up.
Did he work in a comic shop for a while?
He did that part-time.
For a bit.
And he would run games there and stuff like that. And I think he finally just had enough of it. So he stopped doing that. But hey, I'll give him credit for wanting to try that out. So, but he was telling me that they're already talking to Wesley Snipes and Harrison Ford to do the third Expendables.
I don't think they'll get Harrison Ford, but I'm guessing Wesley Snipes already signed.
And my question is where the hell is Steven Seagal in all this?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because this
involves eating.
I don't think Steven Seagal made a deal with the devil.
No, if he did, it wasn't a very good one.
I think the rumor where two executives made the Trading Places bet with Steven Seagal about making just a regular Joe into an action superhero. Did you hear about that? I think it was like two executives made like a bet that they couldn't just take some random guy off the street and turn him into a super action star, and like Steven Seagal was that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the Hollywood rumor.
They just found this generic kind of dude and like, all right, let's make him an action star.
I don't know if I've seen that many of his movies, to be honest. But he's a real sheriff though, isn't he? Somewhere like in Louisiana, like he's
a blues player now.
Oh.
Yes. So okay, so strike that. Well,
because
he's not really popular, so he couldn't have made a deal with the devil because then you would have known that he was a musician as well.
I think that's
like the cutoff point, right? Because a lot of like Hollywood stars end up trying to be musicians, are terrible at it, so you know that they didn't make a deal. Like, okay, let's just off the top of my head, Will Smith, he made a deal with the devil, right? Popular in music and in movies, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis? No. If you guys ever like listen to the Return of Bruno and his ham-hocked harmonica playing. No.
Bruce Willis was one of the first shows when I started working for House of Blues, the production, that was one of the first shows that I had to do. Like I had to work on like the contracts and all that. And I remember like it just being horrible. And I just remember thinking too, no one has the balls to tell this guy that he's not very good. And it was like from like his family and everyone else, they just couldn't seem, you know. And it's like, why would you let a guy perpetuate like this long? Like, where I mean, why would someone say, look, you're not that, you're a fair harmonica player. You know, you don't need to be doing, I mean, it's just like everyone blowing smoke up their ass and telling you you're wonderful no matter what you do. It's just terrible. Oh, and Tim and I talked about the Blues Brothers stuff too, like the new.
How'd you guess I was going to go there? Check this out. I guess if you look at this, this is all you need to see. Is on Amazon, you go Belushi, Aykroyd, Have Love Will Travel. That's all you need to know. These guys did not make a deal with the devil, because that looks like a certified piece of shit.
I wonder if that they would actually like to try to renegotiate that. Say like, okay, look, I've got this. I did this on my own. So now I just need a little bit of help. Or do you...
It's got 4.5 stars. What the hell?
What is it called?
Have Love Will Travel. Will
Travel. And let me stress it. Is it Jim?
The top review.
It's the other Belushi. It's not, you know, it's not classic.
It's not the dead one. It's not the one.
Reanimated John. I would go see reanimated John Belushi.
Most helpful customer reviews. Belushi and Aykroyd. Need I say more? 5 stars. Wow. Somewhat original.
I picked this album just to show support for my boys. Oh.
Is it their mom wrote that review?
Let's see.
My boys.
Somewhat original. Our wonderful performers. Fan. Let me see. Where's the 1 star? There's only 1 1-star review. Only 1. The rest are 4 and 5. They are totally rigging this.
Are you on Rotten Tomatoes?
No, I'm on just Amazon.com. They have 4 and 5-star reviews and 1 1-star review, which cannot be right.
Do people actually pay? I mean, like, for reviews? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is there like an insider thing where they say, hey, you know, they get certain writers and they say just post positive Amazon. Like, you know, like guerrilla marketing in that sense. Are there people that are doing it?
Oh, I'm sure there's people that are doing that.
You can get people to, like, give you Twitter followers and things.
Yeah,
like.
I just heard that. You could buy, like, 200 Twitter followers for $20.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of expensive. You can get it for, like, $1,500 if you wanted.
But yeah. Why would you want people, I mean...
You say you can have this, like, if somebody goes to follow you, you'll say you're a comedian or something. Not that you would do this as a comedian, but you're a comedian, you only got a handful of followers, but you want more people to kind of spread around. So when somebody comes and signs up for you, they look at your account, and sometimes it'll be like, oh, only one person's following this person. They're just, you know, Joe Schmo.
I have 4 followers.
I cut out my followers list. How many do I have?
You had to weed it, because you had a lot of, like... markety kind of followers, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm following 254 people, but I used to follow over 1,000. I totally like had, I had a total gentrification of my Twitter followers.
I had, I only have a handful of people I follow, and I try 11. To expand it unless it's worth it.
But, I have 11, and I had to add one as a favor for a friend this week. That movie Paranorman came out.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my friend the shoe collector, they made 800 pairs of these Paranorman shoes, these black Nikes with the weird, like protoplasm kind of thing. And the contest was to Twitter to post the crazy picture of you from your childhood. And so I had that picture of me being, I think, about 9 or 10 shooting the .357 Magnum.
Nice.
It's on my Facebook.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, I think we got a winner. We're gonna win. And then he found it from one of his friends who works for Nike that there's 800 pairs, but they're giving like 200 to some place, like 300 or 200 to like cast and crew, and like 300 is for celebrities. So really, they're only like 300 pairs. But I signed up.
It's a pretty good picture, though.
I mean, I'm not very confident about stuff like that, but and Christy, who usually poo-poos on that kind of stuff too, like I told her which picture, because she knows the picture, and I told her the contest, and she just goes, oh, you guys are going to win. Which is funny, because normally she'd be like, that's stupid, why are you wasting your time?
I was going to say, when she said she poo-poos on that kind of stuff, by stuff, do you mean everything?
Yeah. You got to edit that out. Booga.
See, the only thing I would say to that is that it depends on whether or not they'd be able to, like, promote gun use in that way. So that would be the only thing that would might slow it down.
I never thought about that.
Oh, the lawyers would be all over that.
Oh, we can't have a child shooting a gun in that picture.
Yeah. Even if he's wearing sweet kicks.
Yeah, Hoke, you would love the. You look at that picture. Those are your kind of shoes. That little Velcro action going there. And then that's also too. That's like the genesis of the boiler. The boiler being my belly. You know, it's like that. You can see that it's the start of a little paunch. Now it's a big boy paunch.
I had a big boy paunch from a long time ago.
What was that?
I dropped this thing. It hit a plate that was over on my table.
Oh. Are you sitting at your kitchen table?
No, I had a plate from before that was up here. I'm not always going to clean office.
That picture is amazing, by the way. It's kind of like you're shooting on a car that's heading your way.
My buddy said, he goes, it looks like it's from a movie.
Yeah.
It's like it's a bizarre movie of like just these, like the barren plains, you know.
And you're shooting some old-timey car that's about to bear down on you.
I'm shooting at Bruce Willis from Last Man Standing.
By the way, I enjoy the choice of camouflage T-shirt, but
yeah,
I went through a camo phase when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, I had a
Sonny Boy-esque, actually.
That is very Sonny Boy-esque.
Oh man, I gotta see that, Tim. I need a copy of that.
I have a digital copy. I can get you. I'll burn you.
I have a digital copy as well. I might be able to hook you up.
We gotta keep this thing alive.
So. No, it's
maybe I won't.
What? But you know, the camo face, like as a kid, like I had these G.I. Joe shoes that were camouflage and had Velcro, and the cool thing is they had the little plastic insert in them, and so you could take and put different pictures of different G.I. Joes for that day, you know, whichever wanted to change it. So I definitely went through a camouflage phase.
I had the little shoes that like they had a pocket on them, so you could put like 3/4 in them, and then
ruse. Ruse. Those are ruse. Kangaroos.
Yeah. They were ruse. Yep.
Yeah. Those are good. All that stuff. I bet you can't get it. You couldn't. Like Salvation Armies and like Goodwills, like there's certain areas you could probably find a pair of ruse some days, but like in the East Coast, forget it. In Austin, no way.
No way. Yeah, it's too mainstream down here. The hipsters already have it.
Yeah.
Though
yeah,
I've been forbidden from wearing Velcro shoes myself. So
I heard. And Tim said that you're the kind of guy. He goes, you're gonna be forbidden, and that just means you're gonna buy like more pairs of.
Yeah, pretty much. I still have them in the apartment, but it's a rare occasion I bust them out just to let everybody know that they still exist.
Do you find yourself though, like when she goes out of town or does something like that, you break out your Velcro shoes? Because I do that kind of stuff all the time. Like when Christy's out of town, like I'll wear T-shirts that I know that I get a ton of crap.
I'll break out the Velcro shoes and the pornography.
Yeah. That's it. You're just wearing Velcro. She comes home and you're just beaten up with Velcro shoes. She's like, "What are you doing? This is what you do when I leave town."
You're back a day early, hun.
And if you can say it in that monotone, like there's no emotion in your voice, well, you're back a day early.
Like it's yes, not mad.
It's like the parents in Ren and Stimpy.
Well,
bath time, everybody. Family bath time.
There's this shirt that I've been debating buying because it's $7 at the Walmart, and I've told Tim like multiple stories that the Walmart in Livermore is the most amazing place. But it's a gray shirt. It's kind of that weird T-shirt silk. It has these big yellow eyes on the front of it, and it's like this big wolf face. And I didn't realize I took it off the rack and looked at it. In the back of it, it's a picture of like a wolf at night on it. And Chris and I were in Walmart. And I was like, "Oh my, look at that shirt!" She's like, "You really like that shirt?" I'm like, "No, you know," and because it's a horrible shirt. But I need to get it because I need to do the whole, you know, like we're going out. I'm like, I gotta change. It come out wearing it. It would be worth it, but of course,
it'd probably be worth it.
It's like joke equals homeless.
I bet you would be guaranteed to find that at a place like Kmart. I bet Kmart would have that even like 2 years from now.
I think I'm gonna get it. I think it's gonna be my little reward for today. Like after driving to Merced, after I get done with this and coming back, and I think I'll go buy a nice iced tea and I'll buy that wool. Cause I'll get a picture of me in it and send it to you guys. Cause it's oh my god, it's just a nightmare on so many.
You know what you should do? You should have it before you leave, and then like. Be like, get out of the car and like honk the horn, like, all right, I'm ready, let's go. And just get hand by the car with it on.
It did turn around and like show the wolf on the plains and do the Rob Van Dam thumb point.
Thumb point and go, aroo.
Or how, I'm ready to go.
Just start talking like Wolfman Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Jesus. Are you crazy kids ready to get in the car? Go to my sand.
Go on to my sand, babies. Ow.
You would have to put like a video treat or something for that.
The wolf man's about to drop his hairy balls in your mouth. Ow! I did buy a shirt. It was like $5. They had those vintage shirts, like the, you know, they sell at Walmart. They had a Mountain Dew one, and the reason I bought it was because it had the old logo, and it was so bizarre because they had the little hillbilly with the jug on it, and it says something like, "It's good for your innards." And I'm like, wow, I don't think I have a t-shirt with the word innards on it. I think that's totally worth buying. So I did buy that. But okay, I gotta tell you, like, really quickly, like the Walmart, like yesterday I saw a really big lady in one of those motorized carts. And she was driving around and she was stopped kind of like an end cap and she was going and like reaching and she was reaching for some cookies. She couldn't quite reach them. And then I looked and I'm like, what the hell? And I looked underneath, you know how there's like that basket thing underneath the cart, and there was a little girl underneath the cart. Wow. Like she was driving around like with her little tiny granddaughter in the cart underneath. And it was just so bizarre. And then like a few months ago I saw a girl, like kind of a goth girl, like a real heavy set goth girl. And she was her boyfriend kind of looked like Beavis, but he was wearing Angry Birds pajama pants and a winter coat. And the two items that she was buying was corn dogs and a toilet seat.
Wow.
And I couldn't decide if it was like they needed to repair the toilet seat, or she thought, I'm going to eat these corn dogs and I'm going to break the toilet seat and I need one on hand. I just, my mind was just kind of like, and it's, I spent way too much
time. That's very specific two items to go to the store for.
You know, we need corn dogs and toilet seats.
Hey, while you're at, can you get a new toilet seat? Oh, okay.
The worst name of a band, corn dogs and toilet seats. I did buy a $5 DVD that was the Horror Fest, the Films After Dark, you know, that they do.
Because
when Redwood City, when they had the old shitty theater, they used to show those films. And but they don't now. They just have the big one, and the big one didn't really. No place around here shows me. They still do that festival thing. But I got one because there was this cover for this one that was called Perkins 14, and the cover looked, the movie poster of it that they showed looked really good. But I started watching it last night. It's not very good.
And you realize they spent all their money on the graphic design.
Well, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where it's going. It's not bad, but the main actor of it is the hero, so to speak, is this really weird-looking bald. He's like a sheriff, but he kind of looks like a tall, skinny Nosferatu, kind of. It's just, I'm like, this is supposed to be the guy I'm supposed to root for and get behind and have him solve injustice?
Why are you sucking people's blood?
Yeah, yeah, and he, of course he's got. It's like it has to do with like a guy that was like abducting children, and then it's. I don't know. I'll probably finish it tonight. I'll let you know how it is, if it's. But you know, for $5, and it's like eight movies, you know. So and one of them has got to be good, right? Right.
$5. I mean, it's like it's $5 good, right?
It's $5 divided by eight, less than a dollar a movie. Even if they all suck, you probably are all right.
But you do look in the back and you do see that there's some nudity in some of them. So you're like, well, maybe we can see a compare movies. You know, that's the grand.
I mean, out of those eight, something's going to hit. I don't know what's going to hit, but something will hit.
That's the chance you take.
That's you buy a stack of five VHSs and Sleep Stalker takes the cake, which I will. I'm actually have to encode that one and get that up for.
But the Sleep Stalker was good.
You know what? I'm going to watch it again. Do you guys remember? Do you remember this actor? His name, I think his name was Jay Underwood, or he was in The Boy Who Could Fly. Did you ever see that movie? Anybody?
He was also the robot kid.
Yes.
In the I don't remember what the name of the movie was, but like My Friend or
yeah, and he would kind of twitch.
My Robot. Yeah, yeah, I remember that kid.
The Boy Who Could Fly. Like, I very rarely remember The Boy Who Could Fly.
The Boy Who Could Fly. I hear the typing.
Yeah, well, no, I'm looking it up right now.
I might be wrong.
The Boy Who Could Fly had a girl, and I remember the girl who lived next door was like his love interest was really pretty. I remember being a young kid and seeing that movie. It's like, oh, she's pretty.
No, wait a second. Who's the boy? Is that him? That's him.
Yeah, Jay Underwood.
Okay, he is an odd looking adult. He's an odd looking kid too, but he's the main hero in this film, and the movie was made in 1997. Which, of course, is when Mike and I got out of high school. And, boy, I don't remember it being that lame. But it's very 1990s in the look. Everybody kind of looks like they should be on Friends.
Yeah. Doc Martens and flannels tied around your waist kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of era. And everybody works in a coffee shop in the movie.
Yeah.
Verge of that independent coffee shop kind of movement before Starbucks.
And the girls wear blossom dresses and hats?
A little bit. But there's a kicker in it, and it's 97.
95. Sorry.
Oh.
I got the power of the IMDb right now.
Oh, okay, 95. Either way, it's
either way it sucks.
So no, it sucks. But the guy who's the Sandman, he's a criminal, of course, and if he dies, it's kind of the thing like the one where the guy Shocker, or whatever, where the guy gets electrocuted and becomes electricity.
Yeah.
This guy turns into sand, shockingly. And he's the Sandman, but there's this scene where he's in the desert and he's kind of like turning into sand and he's like kneeling out and it's dark and there's lightning and stuff. And you hear this like metal music playing and you can tell they're just totally trying to do as close to a knockoff of Inner Sandman as they can.
So it's like an old school WCW music entrance.
Yeah, for Raven. Wasn't it Raven would come out to that one?
No.
Close. It's not as close as that one, but like you can.
No, Ravens was a ripoff of "Smells Like Teen Spirit" from Nirvana.
No, that's Diamond Dallas Page. Diamond Dallas Page, the one that came out. There's like self high five.
Oh yeah.
What
the hell?
Ravens was close to the Inner Sandman, like cause it had like the that kind of intro. But they actually the Sandman music. They actually when they did the ECW album, they couldn't get the actual Metallica ride, so they had somebody else to do it, so they did like a version. So anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, but this is not as close as even the wrestling knockoff ones, but you could tell like the way they shot it and everything, like, oh, this would be awesome, we'll play in our Sandman and he'll become the Sandman. And I also think the way the movie's done.
It's kind of like a slower version of Inner Sandman.
But you can tell what they're going for there, because it's the right time frame.
Right. And, but that's kind of like that. It sounds like that.
That was it.
That was it?
That was it.
The actual one, wow.
That was the actual music from the thing. And the movie's called Sleepstalker, The Sandman's Last Rites. And it's like, why didn't you just call it The Sandman? Or
Inner Sandman.
And like, I wonder if they wanted to call it Inner Sandman, but they're afraid they're going to get in trouble with Metallica.
Yeah.
At large.
Because I'm like, the whole scene right there is like, oh, this is what you guys are aiming for. You're trying to do a scary movie based off Inner Sandman, and you couldn't afford it.
Well, you think about it, though, but there was the Sandman comic. There was Metallica. Well, maybe, because I would think that you would want to almost cash in on that. Because the Sandman comic was so huge at the time, you know? And then Inner Sandman, and then I would just think that, yeah. But Sleepstalkers are like a Freddy Krueger thing?
A little bit. It's there's more to it, but there's all these weird lullaby. It's
what he does is you fall asleep and you wake up and he's poured a whole bucket of sand in your butt crack.
No, he does. He drowns this girl in sand one night. He comes in and like turns into a big pile of sand and she gets sucked down into it and dies.
I've been thinking of like he wants to kill people, but he just doesn't quite have that killer edge. So he just like, I'll just pour it in their ass crack and they'll be watching it.
Like, he'll kill people and sprinkle sand on their eyes, and then he will, he always, like, he tells like these nursery rhymes, but they're kind of, they're not messed up, but they're not accurate either. So it'd be like, there sounds like a normal nursery rhyme, but it's not. I'm like, you guys can't get sued for like nursery rhymes. I'm pretty sure they're public domain. And so, but he's,
don't tell that to Tommy Two Tone in Australia.
Oh God.
Is that this band that did the, We Come From the Land Down Under? Who did that?
No, that's
Men at Work.
They got sued because they used a nursery rhyme as like a riff in one of that song, The Land From Down Under. And they lost the case. And now they have to like garnish like royalties and all this other shit because of it.
What nursery rhyme did they use in that song?
Well, let me look it up for you.
Click.
The interweb.
Come from the land.
I can't think of it for some reason.
Kookaburra is the name of the song.
Oh, it's a different song, yeah.
But it's a, like an Australian, like...
Nursery rhyme.
Where they say, like, shrimp on the...
Well, why didn't anyone sue Korn? Didn't Korn have a song that was, like, one of their first big hits was all about nursery rhymes?
Well, I think most of the nursery rhymes, like, at least the ones that are... There's a lot of them around that I think are public domain, so you can't really, you can't get sued for using them. But apparently Australia has more stringent copyright.
Hmm.
But no,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, Sleep Stalker is. I need to watch it. I watched it and it's bad, but it might be bad good. I might have to give it another look. But he's just there's a couple of scenes, you know, like where it's like. He kind of leaves the other person in a lurch, like something happens, and he's like, "Well, I gotta go," and, you know, takes off. And it's like
as bad as leaving in Neon Maniacs, an 11-year-old girl.
It's very Neon Maniac-esque the way he leaves like his girlfriend like in a lurch. It's like, "Well, I gotta go take care of this."
Our heroes, ladies and gentlemen.
There he goes.
Yeah, I think that. Like with movies, like even a bad movie, like you have to somewhat get behind the hero, and when the hero does cowardly shit, like leaving people behind, and oh yeah, it does. I mean, it's funny. Don't get me wrong, it's funny.
And it does have a requisite thing in the movie that is in no way explained. So.
Oh. What? Oh.
No, the Sandman's origin is explained, but there's an aspect of it that's just glaringly like, well, how did this come into it?
Yeah.
It's like, I couldn't complain, like, well, at least they gave him an origin. And then I'm like, okay, but then there's this part, like, where does this guy come from, and how does this work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, plot points. Who needs them?
Yeah, well, and there's that whole, and there's a little bit of continuity. That seems to be another problem, but, you know. I don't know, but if you think about it, you get more out of movies when they have that, because you think about it after it's done. Because a really well-done movie, you're just like, wow, that was really great, and I like this, this, and this, and you kind of forget about it. But, like, I'm still going over stuff from Sonny Boy and Neon Maniacs for months later. I'm still like, but why didn't they – but that doesn't make any – but
in a weird way, it kind of, like, counter-engages you into the story. You're like, okay, well, wait a minute. I got to watch this a little closer. What's going – what?
Yeah. So maybe that's the secret.
You trick people into, like, paying attention to the shitty movie. It's like – just make, don't explain it, and then people will be like, what the hell, and they'll keep watching.
I think that's the I think we just unlocked the beauty of those bad movies, and is that so. We're at the 203 mark. All right, you guys want to call it a day, because I need to go wash off the stink and get ready to go drive, because I'm still in, I'm 2 hours behind, so I'm, you know, you guys probably hopefully washed off.
Yeah, I'm, well, I gotta change my boxers, but outside of that, I'm pretty good.
I was told this morning that I needed to shave my face because it's like my beard and hair is just getting I've always wanted to have like where like it looks like a G.I. Joe where they're combined like it's one whole piece, but it's never gonna work out. But
I mean, wait a second. Just did she say shave your face or buy a wolf shirt? I think.
A little from column A, a little from column B. Oh yeah, I'm gonna buy the wolf shirt. I need to. What should
do? That's what you said this morning. You said buy the wolf shirt. Because I said shave your face. Well, it sounds so similar.
Instinctively heard you say buy the wolf shirt and wear your Mountain Dew T-shirt around me too that says innards. You know the logo I'm talking about, right? The hillbilly with the jug.
Oh, yeah, the hillbilly with the moonshine jug.
Yeah, and they had so many great ones. I want to go back and buy them all, you know. But yeah, man, you gotta love the Walmart. And so, but yeah, we should do this. I think it went all right. When you guys,
it was, you know, I think we kind of centered around bad movies.
Yeah.
We kind of kept back.
The origins are good, and
we could go back. Yeah, because we can always revisit. Something.
And we had a nice little wrestling diatribe, and
we got some multimedia mixed in there.
I think it's
worked well.
And you know, we've got some. And I don't know if you guys are married to the whole Doctor Who nanny, but you know, we can always talk a little Doctor Who at some point.
I think we just, you know, I think we just would pick. I think for each one, we just pick a diving off point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't know. Dive off, and if we circle back around to, you know.
Yeah, what did we say earlier that we're going to talk about next time?
Do we want to go?
We said something. I don't know. I might have to re-listen to this. So.
Well, we can go. We can go.
Oh, God, no, you don't want to have to re-listen.
I think we have some options, either like Doctor Who Nanny. We could get into a more in-depth discussion about deals with devil, both good,
yeah,
bad,
I think
and
deal
middle
with the
ground.
Deal with the devil would definitely be the next movie.
We could come back with like pick like three people who are not obvious deals with the devil, but justification for why they are.
Yeah, I think they can even be obvious too, because I think that
you can be obvious, but we should go into like the detail of your contract.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke's contract. Yeah, I think that's good. I would definitely, because I have my little notebook, and there's actually a spot like I'm writing down deal with the devils, like people. I don't even believe in the devil.
But. So I think we can do a, you know, one could be a jumping off point. One, if, you know, the next round could be a Dr. Hootenanny with a little deal with devil, or we can just, next one could be deal with devil and see where that goes.
And I think too, you can always do the thing too, where like, you know, what do you even watch? Have you seen anything good? You know,
yeah. I think that's fine. I think it's just a rough jumping off point, and then we see where it spirals.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like my favorite podcasts are when you can actually, when something, they talk about something, and it's like it's interesting, you know, like, or you're like, oh, I never heard of that. I want to see that, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, like Neon Maniacs. Or, I think everyone should watch.
Is that the music, Tim?
That was, I believe Mike found Judas Priest, Deal with the Devil.
Oh.
I think that could be, you know, that could be a little intro music for next time.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, because I love so much about the 80s and growing up as a kid, is I love all the crazy shit about, like, Geraldo and those people, the devils, and, you know, like, the satanic rockers and everything.
You don't see that anymore. That was like a child of the 80s itself, was like, it's devil and satanic. You don't even hear that anymore.
Yeah, and I that stuff is hilarious, because when there was a book at the library in my high school, and it was about this guy, he was a cult hunter, like, you know, he'd find these kids, and he had this list of bands that were, you know, affiliated with the devil and encouraged sacrifice songs. And it's funny, because that book, like, I remember a lot of the bands on there, and then later in life, being, like, working as in the booking industry, I dealt with a lot of those bands. They had nothing to do with anything sinister, evil, or
anything.
They're
just trying to make a buck playing music.
They're like the really quiet guy in Skyler's Band for South Park.
They're just easygoing, nice guys, you know, but they had, like, stuff like the Dead Kennedys and, like, you know, True Sounds of Liberty. I'm like, man, I know those guys. That guy's pretty nice. You know, it's like, he's not involved with the devil. But, no, that would be good, too, because, like, we'll do with the deal with the devil, and we could talk about some of those 80s devil stories. And, like, because, you know, like, you remember, like, the rumors, like, you know, I remember hearing, like, yeah, the Alice Cooper concert, he'll throw, like, live animals out in the crowd, and if you don't murder him, then he won't come out and play. There was like, that was the rumor going around my school that, you know, they would kill. And I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, like at Blue Oyster Cult, like they have this well of blood. And if you don't, and then people would drink for it before, like in a satanic ritual. And it's like, what? But your kid is kind of scary, because you're like, is it true? You what?
I'm thinking of the movie The Gate, when the kid plays the record backwards.
I have that on VHS. It's out of print.
On his backyard.
That's Stephen Dorff.
Yeah, it is Stephen Dorff.
Hell yeah. Well, bam, I think we got the next episode locked
in. I think we're going. We're devil, and all things devil.
including deviled egg farts.
Oh, yes. God, dude, see? I've been. Okay. I loved it. Yeah, that's what. Just to get the theme. I'm gonna put like some candles down light and have a big tray of deviled eggs when we do the next podcast.
You could have eat some deviled ham with
and it. And we'll have a seance to summon the devil through your butt.
We'll have a seance. The only thing we'll be able to conjure will be Rob Halford.
Who would gladly go into your butt.
But at least can our asses eat, guys. I say that lower because I don't know if anyone's still here. So I'm just like, hey, guys, we're going to get our assholes eaten. Rob Halford shows up, but we are doing it.
I have this odd feeling that we could almost convince him to come in.
But no one could understand a word he says.
That's all right. Somehow we got him to call in.
Because you know, like with gay men, oftentimes like their palate gets injured, and that's why they have that list. And then on top of that, you add the English. There's no way you'd be able to understand. Sorry, that was really mean. All
right. Well, I think we've got our next episode.
So I guess we'll figure out like a time.
We'll set up a time and we'll book that.
At some point.
Let's
in the future.
Do it soon. I'm excited. I'm ready to do some research.
All right. Well, let's do this. Everybody, start emailing around some dates that might work for you.
Sure. And then what I'll do with the video is I'll fix it in post. So I'll pretty much cut everything that John said out. Oh, wait. No, I didn't mean to say that.
I'm sorry. I was tying my noose right now.
Let me just.
I need this more than any of us do right now. Come on.
Right now, I don't know where I'm going to put it. I'll probably fix it in post and then dump it on SoundCloud and send it to you guys. That might be the easiest way to do it. And then we can figure out where we could put it later on. But SoundCloud seems like I'll probably just sign up for like a free account at SoundCloud, then dump it up there. And that'll be easy. That'll make it easy to embed and throw online and all that other fun stuff. So. As for like subscribing to podcasts, I don't know if you could do that in SoundCloud, but I'll throw it up there for the time being, and then
is
we
it
can...
hard to throw stuff up on the iTunes then? Or...
Well, it's
I can't remember what the hoop is you have to jump through on that.
There's some you gotta like submit stuff and do stuff, but well for the time being, just to get it out there, we'll do it on SoundCloud, and then
we can
figure out where to host it and all that other stuff. If we could somehow. Like make SoundCloud into an iTunes subscription, that would be the best thing. But
I think it was good.
Yeah. So I'll put that out there. I'll let you guys know, and then we'll figure out the next time. We'll talk, and then I'll make sure that I'm as half naked as I am right now.
Hey, boy. So I don't even know. We don't have any sign off thing or anything that will show the ending.
I'll probably just like put some bumper music, so like something will be slowly fading in.
There you go.
I think
you sound like a old man. He's losing his shit. All right.
Well,
he just got the giggling.
I think Tim's done. So that means that we're pretty much all done.
All right.
Well,
we'll cut it here.
It's a good time. I'll probably see you guys some emails later tonight, and okay. We'll go from there. Right. All right, man.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.
Where the dogs don't bite, children don't cry, and everything always goes just right, and brothers don't fight. Maybe it's just over that hill. Maybe it ain't. Maybe there's gold at the end of this rainbow. And maybe it's just pain. Maybe it's just over that hill, up ahead. Maybe it ain't. Maybe it ain't. I'm striving for a time. where the sun always shines. And all night long, that girl is always mine. Just her and me, we don't need to whine. Maybe there's gold at the end of this rainbow. Maybe it's just pain. And maybe it ain't. Maybe it ain't, and maybe it ain't, and maybe it ain't.